you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Uh-oh, Dongo!
Yes, sir!
Don't never, ever trust Whitey.
Are you still there?
Hello.
Yes, hi, you're on the air.
Hello. Yes, I'm not the same caller. I'm a new caller.
Hello, new caller.
I heard the overlap there of the conversation. I realized you must be speaking.
Can you turn down your radio all the way, please?
I'm sorry?
Can you turn your radio off, please?
Can you turn down your radio off?
Oh, yes.
You have to turn it off because we get this double feedback here.
I got it.
Hi there.
Hi. I'm so glad that you were calling for calm. And people were calling with negativity and complaints, and you finally got someone that had a calming effect. The gentleman that grew his 40 avocado trees in his apartment. I thought that was, it just made me feel better to hear that. And I'm so glad that you, hello?
Yes, what about you?
How about me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling because I reacted to your use of the word apartment. And I think you're absolutely correct about the apart part of apartment.
Uh-huh.
Because you're basically apart from the others that are around you, be it by walls and more often by the psychology. I often ride in the elevator in my own building, and everyone stares straight ahead like they're in a subway car.
Yeah.
And it, to me, it's very sad. Now, personally, excuse me, I just got a bit choked up. Personally, I belong to a group of like-minded people that are, we call ourselves little brains. We do that because we're big fans of Michael Mara's paint, Don Geronimo's testicles, and the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to join?
No, well, I don't know. Cancel that, would you?
It never happened.
I don't know, but there should be a bleep in there.
Wow.
Hi, everybody.
Hold on, where's the phone?
Well, hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back.
Oh, hell yes.
What? Stop that! It's silly. Very silly indeed.
That's so gay.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
My own has a mind of its own.
What about the vagina?
That's what it's time for.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
This is jackass.
Dumbass. I like rape.
When you see news breaking, wait 24 hours. Then don't call the Don and Mike Show.
You got that, Mr. Bond?
No, Mr. Bond. I expect you to die.
Ha-ha! And I'll be dead.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Well, hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody. Wow. How are you anyway? Wow.
Don and Mike Show Tuesdays. Hi, little brains. Your little brains just like you.
Yes.
Phone number, maybe you just heard the tape a moment ago. 877-365-3636. Now, today is certainly not the day for it. But one day last week, we were going to do an all-caller show. And we ended up, it ended up being the show where all the Ima stuff started happening.
Yeah, and it kind of dissolved before it even got started.
But it's still there. It's still, it's like, it's like that blind spot. As you go to back up the radio show, object in rear mirror may appear closer. It's right there. As I look at the blind spot, as I turn to back up, I go, oh, all caller show.
So you think we're going to do it again soon?
Maybe tomorrow, friend.
Oh, my God. Not dead yet. I don't know, my lady.
All right, my lord. This is the Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don.
And Mike. Hi.
Hey, I heard Super Dave on Jack FM today.
Well, did he sign the contract?
They don't have DJs on Jack FM, do they?
Yeah, they have people can call in and leave a little message and they play it in between each song.
Now here's a good tune that I really like.
That's okay.
It was pretty funny though.
That means, you know, now that his name has come up, everybody on the show, on air and off, will be doing Super Dave impressions for the rest of the day.
I don't think so. I'm no good at it. I'm no good at it. I can't do it like everybody else.
You can't get your voice up this high.
No, I can't. Can you do it, Buzz?
Can't do it. No.
I know you can do it, Rob.
That's right. So can I. Rob and I have the same size testicles. I think there's probably a wadded-up sport jacket under my bed. My pants smell like me.
Febreze.
I need wipes.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
I got a joke.
All right. Oh, no.
Well.
Bye.
See you later, friend.
When you say you want to do that all-caller show?
I think on April 32nd.
Be there.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don. Mike, how are you?
Hi, we're doing great. Thank you.
It's the first time caller. I've been a listener for about 10 years. Love your program.
Thanks. Nice bio.
And
thank you.
What?
Forge ahead, sir.
What?
You
go ahead.
Would
you please just start talking when we stop talking?
go ahead, sir.
I just
don't let our interruptions bother you.
Come on, go ahead.
You guys start make now. Me laugh.
Listen. Listen to learn and learn to listen.
Amen.
Please.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
I just want
to
say...
There seems to be some sort of timing problem here. The way it normally works is that we'll say a couple of things and then you get on with your point. So with that said, please, with all speed, get on with it.
Yes, I just want to say thank you.
The problem here, though, is the timing of the callers. The problem is not with us. The problem is with the timing of our phone callers.
Oh, my goodness. I just want to say thank you.
One more time.
Thank you.
What can we do? Hold on, please.
Uh-huh.
What can we do for you?
You know what?
Because on this show, more than any other, he who hesitates is lost.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Next.
Hey, I'm just telling you guys not to be hard on yourself. I think Don and Buzz did a much better job on that impersonation of Super Dave than old Rich Little would have.
Well, that's good. We're better than Rich Little.
Hey, that's my man you're talking about.
Your idol.
That's my idol.
Your hero.
Idol. Your hero.
Rich Little.
Oh, God.
Hang
my
from Canada.
Hey, listen, about television, because, you know, it's the box that we all love.
It's our life.
And I feel so bad. Actually, you know what? I guess it would be really my second favorite box.
Yes.
Wow.
Good for you, Don. Your first favorite box is the box.
The box.
Nice, baby.
Nice box.
Hot
as balls box. But I like my magic box, too.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Although the other one can be a magic box as well.
Can be.
Poor Robbie. No TV. No. Listen to this. Still, DirecTV comes out to his new place today, and he tells them that they're going to need a 40-foot ladder.
Told him in advance.
The guy shows up, how long ago, Robbie?
Made the appointment 4 weeks ago because I wanted this done the day I moved in.
Right.
And I said, you need a 40-foot ladder to do this install. They said, it's on the note. I confirmed twice. They said, 40-foot ladder on the note. The guy shows up. He says, I brought a 32-foot ladder. I said, it says, if you look on your work order, you're going to need a 40-foot ladder. And he looks on his work order. He says, yeah, it says that, but I brought a 32 because it's what I had. I said, I'll take a look and see if I can do it.
How happy were you?
Well, I wasn't real mad yet.
Yeah.
Because he said,
he's going to try.
I'm going to try and look at this. And I said, okay. And he comes back in maybe 8 seconds later. He says, no, Not in this wind.
Can't do it.
I said, what? Is it so windy the ladder's getting shorter? He said, no, just can't do it. We'll come out tomorrow early.
It wouldn't matter if it was windy or non-windy.
It doesn't reach.
It doesn't reach.
It was 8 feet short. The ladder is 8 feet short to get on your roof.
So I am pissed. And when I leave, let me tell one other thing, because, you know, this is the third day in the new house.
Right.
And I go out to leave, and I've set the trash out front, because I see by my neighbors today is trash day. We don't even know what trash day is.
Right.
We don't have plastic cans. Right. So I just have stuff
just a bunch of white trash
jammed down in packing boxes.
Okay.
And because, you know, the box.
You're packing peanuts?
No, there's nothing that light and fluffy.
Trash. All right.
But when I go to let this guy go, the box is blown over and there's trash around in the yard. And I'm like, ugh. But it's not so bad that I can't collect it. The one thing that is clear on the sidewalk, Robert is nursing a nasty infection right now, so he's on antibiotics.
Right.
And the best way to give antibiotics in a liquid form to a four-year-old is in a syringe. You know, a sterile syringe.
Uh-huh. So the neighbors see
you
a syringe.
You know a syringe.
You know the crackheads have moved in.
So the Spiewaks are there with their discarded syringes on the sidewalk. Stay away from the Spiewaks.
There goes the neighborhood.
That's fantastic.
Nothing makes a better impression.
Yeah, and so I have to wave off the, Pablo from DirecTV.
Hey, sorry, sir. Just doing a little heroin over here.
Just trying to get it done. I'm all sad because I have no television.
Syringes are scary.
Yes, they are. This had no needle, though. Just great flavor.
Doesn't matter. When you see that syringe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's scary.
So I picked it up daintily and put it back in the box. Then the trash men came out as well.
Did you call DirecTV back?
Oh, I got up five levels today.
Five levels, did it do any good?
Did they offer you anything better than a 3 month of Stars?
I got 3 months of Stars.
Stars?
Like a video game. Didn't offer you a new unit, another unit, an extra room unit?
I suggested it. I said, you know what you could do? You could help me with another high-def box. They said, no, can't do that. And I played...
That you'd go to Dish Network, you'd go to Comcast.
I said, I have an appointment with Comcast this afternoon, and I'd really hate to break this relationship up after being with you for 13 years. And I got, well, do you remember the lady who had the lotion application machine?
Do I?
Yeah. That's who I think was handling
my
call.
A petite elderly woman?
The sexy granny.
We would sure hate to see you go.
What a shame that is.
Yes.
That's too bad, because when I played that card with DirecTV, they had, and the guy's name, I remember his name now, Omar, came out, and, I mean, wow, the guy worked his ass off.
Did a beautiful job. Did you see 24 last night? Great. Fabulous.
I bet it was.
maybe their best ever, don't you think?
Well, listen, I know everyone wants to bust Rob's balls about TV, and I do too. Yeah. That's kind of where I was leading with it. I'm afraid I got to say something that I thought earlier.
I said that initially,
growing,
just to bust Rob's balls. I really don't believe it.
I'm growing soft on 24, and here's why. The nukes, the suitcase nukes,
yes,
were found.
Yeah.
Fayed is dead.
Right.
Now, I'm willing to suspend disbelief on 24.
Sure.
However, once we've found the nukes, and we're going to give Jack Bauer the keyboard that unlocks them just to get Audrey Raines back.
Right.
That's where I start to disconnect with 24.
Yeah, you've gone from your hero pursuing a mission to save mankind to just getting a skirt freed.
And incidentally, the president's okay with this.
Yeah.
Before he keeled over.
Right. That's okay that he keeled over because now you got Powers Booth.
Mm-hmm.
Evil old Powers Booth.
You know, I'm sorry for those who are fans of 24. I'm still a fan of the show as well. It's just now it's taken a turn where I guess for the last however many episodes, it's a soap opera.
Do you know how stupid I am at the end of the show? I was convinced, and I told Carla this, I was convinced that we are going to have Secretary Heller show up.
I hope so.
Because it's my daughter. I really thought that was going to happen last night, and it didn't.
Do you know what?
He's gone, right? He's gone forever?
Yeah. I don't know, but I've got something you have to see. You know what we have to watch some weekend when we're getting drunk together?
What's that?
I'll give Jan some credit here. I forgot to mention this to you. Over the weekend, when we were both just sick as dogs, at one point she said, come watch a movie with me. And I said, what movie? And she said, I love this movie with Mel Gibson. It's called Payback. I was like, what a crappy choice.
Yeah.
So we put the movie in, and I don't know if you remember the movie or not. It's got like a blue-gray tint to it.
Is this when his kid gets abducted?
No, that's Ransom. This is where he plays a guy named Porter, and the whole thing is he got ripped out of $60,000 I don't know, 10 years ago, and he goes back to Chicago to find this guy. It's a relatively famous movie, and as we were watching it, I'm looking at Janet going, why are we watching this? And she said, give it 10 minutes. You obviously don't remember the movie.
Hmm.
William Devane has a huge role in this movie, Payback. Now,
is he a bad guy?
He is a mafia guy. And, Mike, dig this, because this did make me laugh so much. I had a coughing fit beyond coughing fits when I was sick, really sick on Saturday. As he's talking to these other mobsters where they're trying to figure out how they're going to catch Mel Gibson,
right?
He, of course, has on the obligatory mobster blue shirt with the white collar,
right?
The really big Mel Karmazin cufflinks, and he has that stuff that you put on your lips for chapped lips that comes in the little yellow container.
Carmack.
That's it.
Carmack.
And as he's talking to this guy about what they're going to do with Mel Gibson, he's wiping this on his lips. And he's saying, so, this guy Porter, I think he might be a player. And he's very carefully, and Dave, I can picture you doing this.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when he gets done doing his lips, one of his henchmen comes over and gives him a hand cloth, a washcloth,
right,
where he very daintily continues to speak in that understated William Devane way. If anybody
he's
out there,
sinister mafia, right? He doesn't do over-the-top mafia.
No.
He's just sinister mafia.
But he's sitting there, and what he's doing is oiling up his lips and then very carefully wiping his hands. And if anyone out there has got this movie,
and it's called Payback?
Call in and play this scene over the telephone.
It's time for Payback, Jack.
Mike will wet himself.
Thanks so much.
Really.
Do you think there's any chance we'll see Bill Devane back on 24?
Oh, I think so.
I hope so.
I think the fact that she is...
The only thing that would have saved it for me last night, because I was bored with the whole episode.
The fact that she's alive. She's alive. Is a key, I would think, to getting Devane back.
Yeah. And she bores the hell out of me. I don't like her at all. What did she do last night other than have that little hurt puppy look the whole time?
That's pretty much it.
Can't you do a little more?
There she is.
Audrey. That's my daughter with the horse face.
Audrey.
And then the Chinese guy's not credible either.
Hello.
Mr. Bawa.
Mr. Bond.
Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
Mr. Bawa.
I don't know. You know, it's like the second time this year I've wanted to jump off the 24 bandwagon, but God
stand down, Jack. Stand down.
He's not saving the world now.
No, he's not.
He's just after his poontang.
They're throwing some extra episodes on after the main
crisis.
Stress point of the show is gone. The nukes, the suitcase.
I do like the story with the president and the vice president at this point. I do want to know where Powers Booth is going with
this. See, but the thing is, it would have been great to put that all in the show and then have it end at the very end.
Not busy enough.
I refuse.
With Fayed last week with the chains around his neck and then finding the suitcase bombs.
Yeah. Jack Bauer.
For Audrey Raines?
I think they're leading up to the next cliffhanger. A couple episodes
left? But the whole thing about Jack is he saves the world. He doesn't save the girl. Saving the girl is like a B-movie plot. Saving mankind is much more significant.
Think of it as a bonus scene.
Don't get hurt. You know what he wants to do? He wants to get her out of that Chinese prison so he can put a saddle on her.
Yeah.
Take her out for a ride.
You know, if you really want to get some tension again, you have somebody steal those nukes again and hide them in William Devane's mouth.
Hey, somebody out there really has to have that movie Payback on DVD.
Yeah, you must. Come on. With Carmax wiping his lips.
You gotta call in with that scene of William Devane.
Yeah. I'm a bad guy. I'm a mafia chieftain.
His name is Porter.
Porter.
And he just taps his lips.
And you're seeing those teeth, I would assume.
Oh, yeah.
If he's showing his lips, he's showing his teeth.
Real hard time keeping those lips over those big, gigantic teeth he has.
My piano keys. Jack Bauer.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Buenos tardes, gentlemen.
Hi.
Bill Devane, I think he's coming back. Who told Chang that Jack had the bombs? And how did he call him within 5 seconds of getting the bombs?
Not too stereotypical a name, too, for a Chinese person. Chang.
That's like Smith, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Like Smith.
Very similar. First name, Charlie.
My name is Billy Chang.
You're
my brother, Charlie Chang. And my other brother, Choo Choo Chang.
Charlie Chang.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Hey,
I just wanted to let you guys know they got a new Oreo out. It's strawberry milkshake Oreos.
And that excites you why?
You ever?
I've tried them. Dude, they taste just like a strawberry milkshake, but with a little chocolate twist to them.
Did you ever eat two boxes of those in one sitting? Oh, man. If you're really going to make the Oreo, you're screaming. I'm losing my train of thought. Oreos, Mike. If you want to make that cookie work, you don't use a chocolate cookie.
No?
You use a vanilla wafer.
Or
now, put strawberry in between the vanilla cookie, and I'm eating it. Have you ever taken an entire handful of Girl Scout Thin Mints, put them in some Fluffer Nutter, added some bananas, and then put them in your undershorts? How'd you like to put that in a donut? Put them in your underdrawers.
Yeah, and then microwave it. Where's the honey, Junior?
Don and Mike show. Hi, radio up too loud. Hello there.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hey, what are you guys doing?
we are fulfilling a contract. How about you?
Not really sure.
Oh, I'm just trying to turn myself on the radio for the first time.
You've never been on the radio before?
Hi.
Never.
It was great.
Hope you sounded so relaxed.
Hello there. Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Don. The best line in that movie is what James Coburn's character says about his character Carter after he kills him.
What? Wait, you've confused me with that opening line.
This is about the movie Payback. He's talking about James Coburn, who really has nothing to do with, although he's Bill Devane's boss. Uh-huh.
He's another one with big teeth, though.
Yeah. Yes.
The late James Coburn.
Are you talking about when he shoots his luggage?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
And he tells him that he...
Gosh, it's not easy always being a step ahead of people that call the show.
You're like an interpreter. Yeah, you should get a job at the UN.
Oh, hold on. Here's a guy with the clip.
Oh, good.
Thank you, Joe, for finding that guy.
Hi, Joe.
And let's talk to Mike. Hello, Mike from Baltimore. Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Yeah, we're doing great. You got that movie Payback?
I do. Can you believe it? I've got the director's cut. I just watched it the other day.
Okay. Well, we won't mock you because we're asking for it. Now, do you have the scene I'm talking about from Mike here?
I've got it queued up.
Okay, beautiful. Here we go.
You want me to play the whole thing, right?
Yeah, sure. A couple minutes of it.
Philip tells me you have a problem you need help with.
Yes, sir.
Is it your problem who breached our security last night at the Oakwood?
Yes, sir. And now as he's doing this,
he breaks into my
apartment. Got a picture of him slowly walking around the room, dipping the stuff on his lip.
We can help you. Two, we can allow you to help yourself. And three, we can have you replaced. We have an investment in you, Resnick, so assisting you would be, in a way, protecting our investment. And that is always good business policy.
And he's still his wife with the stuff on his lips.
Mr. Carter, thank you, sir. You won't regret it. According to Philip, a man has come to town to kill you?
Yes, sir.
And you say that he's alone and that he's a professional robber, is that correct?
Still rubbing the stuff on his lips.
Thanks, you know, stuff like that.
Okay, hold on a second. Are you still there? Hey, Mike? Hey, Mike.
Porter.
Mike from Baltimore. Hey, Mike?
What's his first name?
Hey, Mike?
Yeah.
Mike, there you go. Now, thank you for the audio. Could you please be a love and describe to Mike what William Devane is doing as he's walking around the room talking to the guy in the chair.
Yeah, so he's, you know, he's talking to him about, you know, we can do three things with you, and he's got the little Carmex in his hand at the time. And so he sits on the edge of his desk, and he looks at him, and he starts explaining, you know, what he thinks they can do. And with his left middle finger, just gently, ever so gently, dabs the Carmex and starts patting his lower lip, going from the left to the right.
That is a beautiful job. That is like Vince Scully-ish. Nice job.
Robbie, let's give this guy a prize.
Absolutely, he deserves it.
That is a beautiful interpretation of that.
And my friend,
it is funny because that's one of the most memorable scenes in the whole film.
Yeah. I give credit to my girlfriend who pulled that out, and I didn't even realize Bill Devane was in that suit.
He described it beautifully with the middle finger ever so gently. Yeah.
You, my friend, have got Borat on DVD.
Hey.
Excellent.
You will love the extra stuff. Now available wherever DVDs are sold.
Excellent. Right,
thanks. Hold on a second. I should actually get that movie and give it to you, Mike.
I'd like to see it before one of these herpes sores breaks out on my lower lip. Jack.
Yeah, because the guy did a great job of... He's right, and it is just... It's a one-finger tap.
The sinister nature of the character comes through, even on the radio. It's really the... Did that guy that he's talking to get killed by any chance?
They all get killed.
They all get killed.
Mel Gibson kills them all.
Ah, excellent.
Mel kills them all.
Don't kill me, Mel.
Because they're Jews.
That's right.
Jews.
You anti-Shemite? I should have killed you first.
So, oh, let's see. Hold on. All we got now is people with a clip from Payback. Oh, for goodness sakes. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Jason?
Hey, Don and Mike. Yeah, there's another part there where Devane is talking to Gibson when he comes in. And he says he's got the other guy on speakerphone. And just before he drills him, Devane puts in a piece of gum. Gibson shoots him, and the gum flops out of his mouth right on his chest, out of his hands up in the air, and then Devane dies.
Wow, he dies while chewing gum.
Yeah. The entire focus of the scene really is on his mouth.
This sounds like the perfect Devane vehicle.
you're going to
shoot me before I get to try this trident.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Long time Devaniac, first time caller. That right Chinese on. Guy is the Chinese guy from Seinfeld, the early episode where they were waiting for the restaurant reservation.
You are kidding me.
No, he's right. You are kidding.
Yeah.
No, you're
same guy.
Is it really the same guy that keeps going, Seinfeld, very soon, very soon?
It is. Is his name Key Luke?
Key Luke.
Because he's been like a go-to character actor in Hollywood for a million years, and I know he did Seinfeld, but is it the... Caller?
Who was the Hawaii 5-0? What was that?
Cam Fong is Chin Ho.
And who was the guy on Barney Miller?
That was Jack Su.
Jack Su.
He should have been a lawyer.
And hey. So you're doing all of this without a book. That's hooray right. for Robbie.
Good for you.
I wish I had Merrill Harold Kalin saying that. Hooray for Robbie.
Hooray for Robbie.
Hooray for me.
The show is great.
You are great.
And that's it, folks.
That's it. Your call's over. Goodbye.
Well, he doesn't seem to want to hang up.
Didn't take it well.
Well, there he goes.
Key Luke. That's the name.
Key Luke. Does look like the same guy to me.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Bob and Tom. My Nillas. How you doing?
What's up?
Not much. I was wondering if you wanted to hear me throat sing.
Hear you throat sing?
Well, I try. I'm not very good
what
at
it. What is throat singing?
What is that?
You know, it's sort of this Tuvan thing, ritual thing where you can sing.
I mean, is this? I've seen the on the Discovery Channel these guys that do the.
Exactly,
is it
yeah.
that thing?
Yeah,
that's kind of cool. I like that.
All right, go ahead, give it a try.
All right, here we go.
That sucks.
I just sound like some mongoloid.
They do a thing where they're singing in their throat and they're talking at the same time.
Oh
they're singing
God.
Like lyrics and then you've got,
wow.
you know, I've seen that. They're,
wow.
they're like Tibetan monks that do it or something like that.
Well, this guy just went,
yeah. We can all do that. That sucked.
I'm not a monk though. I'm sorry.
That really sucked.
I'll keep practicing.
Buddha will curse you.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Now you've done it. Donna
Mike. All praise to Allah. Hello, what?
Did you hear the breaking news?
Now, this has either got to be a joke or Buzz, is there actual news?
No, this is actual news.
I'm you know what? Are you aware that we do have a prime directive on this show?
Yes.
Have you ever heard it?
I'm surprised you're not.
No, hold on a second. Are you listening?
I'm listening to you.
Have you ever heard of our prime directive on this show? About breaking news.
Hold on. Is this the OJ guy slash
no, this
the
isn't
finger
the OJ guy?
Guy?
No.
This is CBS calling you. Telling you that the Jacksons are about to do a $1 billion deal with CBS.
Oh, this old story?
No, that's not old. That's just, I just found out yesterday.
Well, just because you found out, hey, listen, dummy, just because you found out doesn't mean it's breaking news.
Man, it's so wonderful to be black in America today. $1 billion to tour the world, a world tour.
Get out of here, dumbass.
He's having his moment. Shake your body down to the ground.
What a stupid ass. That's like someone who's been in a coma for 10 years going, oh, my God, Lady Di is dead. Jesus, this is breaking news. Hello, Donna, Mike Show.
Hey, you know that douchebag?
Hello.
Hey. Hello.
Yes, what douchebag?
That douchebag that wanted to sing through his throat just called him Bob and Tom.
Yeah, we're aware of that. We ignored it.
Right. It was a really subtle jab.
Okay.
Both Mike and I right now, our noses bleeding, Mike, because we just got tagged by that guy.
I believe we moved by it, even though we were bleeding profusely.
Ow. But thank you.
I figured I'd let you guys know, but I guess you're too smart for that.
That's yeah, right. I guess so.
So right, I was sitting there going click, click, click. They're smarter than we sound.
Hey,
I tell you
can
what,
I ask you a question, caller?
I like to die.
Who's your driver?
Who's my driver?
Who's your driver?
Pardon me?
Who is your driver?
My driver? I am.
No, who is your driver? Your favorite driver.
Oh, my favorite driver. Yeah. Ooh. Probably Earnhardt Jr.
There you go.
Dale Jr.
I hear that.
Dale Jr.
What?
He's the best. Him or Harvey?
It's he or Harvick, Kevin Harvick? Is he gone?
He's gone.
He was thinking about it. Well, and then there's maybe Tony Stewart.
Why is Whitey so stupid? Hello, Don and Mike Show. We can say that, right?
Yes,
we're white.
Yes,
we're white.
Mm-hmm.
God, Whitey's stupid.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Whitey, straight-haired Whitey.
Hello.
Yeah, Don.
Yeah, Mike.
Hi.
Don and Mike, love you guys. But that caller with the monk voice?
Yes.
He calls you guys Bob and Tom.
No.
Not really. Hold on.
This is really idiot lane right now.
Hold on a second. Please tell me you're not serious.
I am serious. Bob and Tom.
I swear to... No, I know that. You are a stupid, dumbass douchebag. God, I don't believe in guns, but in your case, I would think maybe pull out a potato gun.
Right in the solar plexus.
Right in the nuts.
Calm down.
No, you calm down.
No, we not only did we hear it loud and clear, then we ignored it, then we get another call. Hold on, shut up a second. We get a call from one dumbass who says, did you hear what he said? First of all, it's so irrelevant to us that we didn't even make mention of it. And then we get a second call like you who mentions it again after we've lambasted the previous caller.
It's not a big deal.
What do you have to say for yourself?
I did not hear that second call.
I did not hear that. In your zeal.
It's not a big deal.
Okay,
God, I wish there was a potato gun that I could put right on your left nodule.
And send you to the moon.
Really?
Why, and okay. Why is it important to you?
It's not. I just,
yes, it is. You called a radio. You called a radio show.
Like, hold on. Did you think that we would go, oh, my God, we didn't hear that. A guy called us Bob and Tom. Wah! We are so angry. Is that what you thought?
No, I was upset with it because you guys are much better than Bob and Tom.
I hate you. I swear to God, I hate you. I really do. Go to hell. We don't need listeners like you.
You really, really slow us down.
All right. Thank you, sir.
I defy anyone out there. Listen, seriously.
Yeah, come on.
I defy anyone out there who's talking about the new standards in radio, about how you should be nice and have everything be wonderful. Talk to a stupid MF-er like this and be nice to him.
Now, listen.
Try.
Let me give you... I'm going to try to explain this to you, okay? You're driving along on the interstate. And a bald eagle flies into your windshield, all right, and hits the windshield. You got four people in the car. Well, everybody in the car is going to go, Jesus, did you see that? Oh, my God, it's a bald eagle. Look at its guts running down the windshield. Look at that. That's incredible. We all could have been killed. Look at the size of that eagle. I see the fellas. You can actually see its yellow beak and its white head, okay? Everybody goes nuts. And it's legit because, Jesus Christ, a bald eagle flew into your windshield. But if you see, if the same thing happens and a mosquito flies into your windshield, there's not one effer in the car that's going to even make notice of it.
And then later... You're the guy that when we stop for gas says,
hey.
Oh, my God, did you see that there's a dead mosquito on your windshield?
And it's the middle of summer.
I know you're just trying to defend our honor,
but that's right.
But really, shut up.
Okay, first of all, the mosquito I would swat, and the bald eagle I would...
No, you're not allowed. No, you're not allowed to riff with us, okay?
Dumbasses. Listen, you are not good enough to call the Bob and Tom Show, and I mean the real Bob and Tom Show. You're not good enough to call this show, you're not good enough to call that show. Now, nobody call me up and say, oh my God, Don, you said Bob and Tom, because I will say to that, what not?
He didn't say it, the caller said it.
What not?
Jesus Christ.
We know.
Okay.
Do people tell you that you're smart enough to call a radio show?
No. He didn't have a discussion with anybody about this before he called in.
Jesus Christ. And then I give him a beautiful analogy. Yeah. You know, he wasn't worth the analogy. He was not worth the eagle mosquito analogy.
I'm not sure he got it.
Hey, no, he didn't get it.
Dude, really, we don't care enough. And we're piling on you because you're the second dumbass in a row to call us with the same stupid thing.
If you'd been the first, we would have gone easy.
I didn't hear the first caller.
Learn to listen.
Why don't you just not worry about defending our honor? You know, if where are the people?
When we really get our
balls busted, we generally speaking don't have our listeners jumping to our side. We don't have people calling up and going, "God damn, you guys are so right." People just want to pile on. That's okay. In this case,
that's cool. You know what?
Hold on.
Listen to me. You guys ream my ass, but I still love you.
We're reaming your ass because you're stupid.
Where are you calling from? It's very important to find out now. Where are you calling from?
You know.
Well, you got my area code, don't you?
No. Where are you calling? Now, don't be coy and cute ass hat. Where are you calling from?
Escalon, California.
Hey. Escalon.
Right.
Never heard that one.
Ascalon. Ascalon.
Ascalon.
That's where you're calling from. Ascalon.
Uh-huh.
Really, friend, and I won't yell at you. It slows down the show when someone stupid like you calls and points out something that someone else said that was rather insignificant, and then when we just try to blow by it, you won't let it go. I'm sorry, really, that's the point.
But I was on the phone. I didn't hear the first.
Are you calling during your lunch break, or are you between your first job?
Lunch break.
What do you do? What do you do for a living?
Do you want to know?
What kind of work? I wouldn't have asked if I didn't want to know.
I work with cow crap all day.
You're a farmer?
In my dairy.
You're a farmer?
I work on a farm, yes.
Are you responsible for all of the tainted beef and the tainted onions? And the tainted lettuce and the tainted love?
Isn't it manure that gets into the food supply?
It sure is, Mike.
Nope.
It's called...
E. coli?
That's it. E. coli bacteria.
I'm immune to E. coli.
I would think. So you work with manure all day?
All day.
So do me and Mike. We're doing it right now.
Why don't you just hang up the phone and go lick your fingers one by one?
We work with human manure.
All right.
You are human fertilizer.
Have a good day, sirs.
This has been a horrible, terrible call that upset us greatly.
Bob and Tom, Buzz, say hi.
Buzz is a man.
I got news for you. Buzz is giving you the finger right now.
That's right.
Two
of them.
I hope there's lube on it.
There's one finger for Bob and one finger for Tom. And one finger for Opie, and one finger for Anthony, and one finger for Howard, and one finger for Stern, and, no fingers for Imus, because that little piggy went wee, 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 all the way to the firehouse.
Never did like him.
All right, I think I've said every disc jockey's name in the world.
Just about.
Yeah. Where's Howard?
Do you understand the eagle?
I already said it.
Do you understand the eagle mosquito mentality?
No, he doesn't get that, Mike.
So let me just give him a chance. I'm going to give him one chance. Why did I say that?
Hello?
Why did I say mosquito?
Why did Mike
I'm sorry.
Stupid, foolish, bad judgment, error in judgment on my part to actually try to have any kind of meaningful dialogue with an absolute vacuous moron.
Is Mike I'm talking to?
Yes.
Oh, Mike. Yeah, man, I love you.
Damn, man. How about California manure?
Now you're I'm going into silly little sounds. You're making me elicit silly little tarred sounds because I'm so upset with you.
Thanks. Look around cafe.
No, don't even mention that. You are not entitled. You are not allowed. Do not ever speak of that.
Can I visit your place now? I love you.
I'm doing it again. I'm starting it again. I'm bringing it back.
Oh, no.
Yes. Starve them out. Starve them all out. Make them emaciated. So they have to go into the Pacific Ocean, and they have to forage through all that California landscape to get to the Pacific, where they have to go down, and then they drink the salt water, and they double over in agony, going, we're from Sacramento, but we thought we could get nourishment from the sea.
I'm Charles Gibson, ABC World News Tonight. Our focus, meanness in America. Today on the semi-nationally syndicated Don and Mike show, the two disc jockeys started with an innocent caller, at first threatening him with a potato gun, and by the end of the conversation, calling him hateful names and saying that they hope he starved to death.
Amen.
CBS fired the two men today after Al Sharpton drove them down the road and then had them for dinner. Fired for hatefulness. Fired. Put on a spit. And I don't mean a Mexican person.
You know what?
Spit. A spit.
Yes.
A spit.
Yes.
Put on a spit.
A barbecue spit.
Both Mike and I with a big apple in our mouths.
Just being roasted.
Just we're like, come on. Get a piece of the thigh.
All because of you. What's your first name?
He's gone. We lost him.
Bastard.
We lost him.
I'm calling from California.
And you know that the poor bastard, he was really, like I said, trying to help us out.
He was. Hey,
that guy was giving you a dig.
What kind of dig is that?
You know, standing, he likes you, was standing up for you. Not well. Not qualified. To.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I just want to talk about something serious.
You know.
I'm getting married to my friend George. We're going to Connecticut, and I need a good honeymoon spot.
I believe that you're a fake homo. I don't believe you're a real homo.
Well, I'm as gay as they get, sweetie.
You need a good...
Gay.
A good honeymoon spot. You find you get a little site, and you aim right between the left cheek and the right cheek.
So you guys go on fantastic voyages, and I want to
know. Yes, voyages. That's what we do
at Coolio.
Voyages. Where would you send this individual?
Well, first of all, I don't really think he's gay. I think he's a straight guy doing a fake gay voice.
Agreed.
Well, I love to hear that, but I'm not. I'm a faggot.
What is your first name, sir?
Michael Sean is my first and middle.
Just like Mike O'Mara.
It is just
another
like
famous
him.
Gay.
He is.
Yeah, but unlike this caller, I'm legit. I'm totally legitimate.
So is there any voyages you could send me on or what?
Listen, hey, we have been momentarily thrown back on our heels by the first couple of calls today.
Yeah. Yeah, we're a little restless right now.
I understand.
We could make an off-color gay joke.
Mm-hmm.
That could get us in a lot of trouble. We could certainly make a joke about, well, you could go on a vacation where you could float a boat or get on a...
If you'd like to take a voyage, I have a suggestion. I suggest, go to Botswana.
Okay.
Yes, go on safari in Botswana.
Just get yourself a bathtub, fill it up with number 3.
Or if you want to keep it local, you could go see those horses down in Assateague. Assateague Island.
Well, I'm from Maryland, and I am familiar with Assateague.
Very good.
Take a boat ride through the Panama Canal.
Thanks, guys. Faggots roll.
Bye-bye. Oh, dear.
Someday they will.
Oh, dear. Callers begat callers. Begotten.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. Not a real gay. My gaydar did not go off on that guy.
No, not like me. There's only one Michael Sean gay in this equation.
Hello, here. Don and Mike show.
You're here.
Hey, what's up, Don and Mike?
Hi there.
Hey, just want to tell you, all these dumbass callers, it's A-okay. The best of the best of the Larry Sanders box set's coming out today.
I saw that.
Well, thank goodness.
Yeah, that's a good show.
Thank goodness.
Wonderful show. It doesn't make us feel any better, though.
What does that have to do? It's not going to help us now. We can't put it on now and watch it right now.
Yeah, besides, I heard that on the Bob and Tom show.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
You know. It's the new $1 billion Jackson 5 tour.
Wow. See, when you linger with one of them, that gives them all permission to call.
Come out. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Mike Butterly, get your little dark room there, boy, and turn that ass up there. How about that?
Thank you, and get me some French fried potatoes, Sling Blade.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, you forgot a finger for the grease.
Yeah, that's obligatory, too. You will always get the grease man impersonator that comes on the tail end of these calls.
Let's go to Buzz with some breaking show business. I thought you'd be interested in this. TMZ.com is reporting that a successor has been chosen for Bob Barker on The Price is Right.
Oh, hold on a second. We can play a game to guess here. Because
all right.
I had heard that Dave Price from The Price is Right was in the running. However,
he would have been good.
I also heard that John O'Hurley was in the running. And I heard there was one other. Who was the third one I heard?
It was a guy that hosted in Vegas.
Danny Gans.
So it's a live version of it.
Stump the Schwab.
Who is it?
The Schwab from ESPN.
It is, in fact, John O'Hurley.
John O'Hurley.
Oh.
I think you'll be good.
Yeah, I do too.
I'm John O'Herney. Very excited. Maybe I don't think you'll be good.
Elaine, would you like to play putt one, hole in one or two?
Rob is crestfallen. Rob is very upset about it.
Well, that's right. Rob is a real aficionado of TPIR.
I can't believe CBS made a bad move on this.
didn't they promise that to our friend Dave Price from CBS Morning Show?
I think they were grooming him for the position.
Who would you have preferred, Rob?
Oh, Dave Price in a second.
That would have been your choice?
Yeah, a real-life person.
John O'Hurley.
Not Jay Peterman.
Well, Peterman has hosted other game shows.
Yeah, and they've all lasted 24 episodes.
You don't like Peterman.
Here's the thing.
As good as Peterman.
You're not going to get the love that Barker has.
No way. No.
You're not going to get the kids waiting outside. No. You're not going to get the people wanting to tongue him when he's up there.
Right.
And they'll never cancel it as a sign of respect because it's one of the most profitable shows under the umbrella.
I think they ought to hire a fatter guy.
You think?
Yes, a fat guy. They ought to hire the guy. Who's the guy that does weather?
Ira Joe.
Ira Joe. I love Ira Joe.
He's like a 400-pound weatherman. Looks like Santa Claus.
I love Ira Joe.
He loves the last cooking segment, doesn't he?
He loves sport coats.
He does.
He loves his sport coats.
So big ones.
John O'Hurley is the host of The Price is Right.
He has the silver hair. I guess that's how
it is. Is it O'Hurley or O'Hurley?
O'Hurley.
Just O'Hurley.
John O'Hurley.
John O'Hurley.
Ed O'Hurley was an old announcer.
That's right.
Yeah. Hello, me, Ed O'Hurley.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. Oops. Don and Mike Show. Hello, you're on the air.
How's it going, guys?
Okay, my friend.
Hey, I had a Matt Damian impression.
All right, go ahead.
How do you like them apples? Whoopee!
That was funny.
All right, we'll stop there.
I enjoyed that.
We'll stop there. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, at that time again for Katie Couric.
Katie Couric's Notebook.
Hi, everyone. Should hate speech be America's official language? So far, 28 states have passed laws making it so. The Klan is coming back. But there's a big problem. There just aren't enough teachers to help retarded immigrants learn hate speech. More immigrants are so stupid and sometimes have to wait months for an opening in an English class. That's so stupid. If communities are going to make hate speech the official language, they need to help new residents learn it. The Klan is coming back. Lamar Alexander, the former education secretary, put it simply. If we make it easier, retarded people will learn hate speech, he said, adding that the government needs to make it a priority and provide adequate funding. And that's the universal language of the Ku Klux Klan. The Klan is coming back. That's a page from my notebook. I'm Katie Couric, CBS.
Wow. Thank you, Katie. They're fascinating.
Mike Show.
That's so gay.
Stand by for spontaneous mediocrity with Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, Katie Couric. Let me see. Oh, I was just on the worldwide web.
The internet.
Looking on our website. I want to talk about the Virginia Tech thing here for a second. Also, just happened to give a quick shout-out to Dave Hughes, who's very stupid, who put on his website today his notable quotable. Mm-hmm. He's looking on the top of his radio website.
Uh-huh.
Notable, it's the headline, notable quotable, 417, today. We're fulfilling a contract. How about you? Responded Don Geronimo today on air to a caller who asked, how are you? As if that's breaking news.
That's your quote of the day.
That's like my I've only said that for like 25 years.
That's true. But now it's significant.
And he's got it wrong. It's not how are you, it's what are you doing. Why would you say it? Someone said how are you, why would you say
Well, he's responded to how are you in the past.
But this is incorrect. This is bad journalism on this.
Well, anyway,
right now.
I just thought it was funny. It was funny. Dave, here's another one of my throwaways when I used to play records. I say a lot of the time, it's the same records, except today in a different order.
That's right.
It's one of those standard throwaway lines. Uh-huh. What are you doing? Well, fulfilling a contract.
Well, now he's got his quote for tomorrow.
It's a joke. About the box of records?
Yeah. Yeah, playing the same box of records in a different order. That'll be up at the top tomorrow.
Okay, so then you go to our website, mm-hmm. DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Yes.
And our listeners are really engaged in a discussion about guns.
Okay.
Huh. And... you know, I know it's goddamn unpopular. We discussed it yesterday. We're not going to get into a whole thing today. But someone writes, let me read you two different things on our website from our listeners.
Posing views?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, just weird.
Okay.
You figure it out.
All right.
First guy writes, and there's a lot of them here, writes, I understand what's involved in repealing the Second Amendment. I also fully understand the corrupt bribe taking congressmen in this country will always suckle at the teat of the NRA and the lobbying groups. I find it funny that 25% of the population that owns guns holds the other 75% hostage. The NRA pushes asinine agendas like keeping rapid-fire weapons available for public consumption.
Mm-hmm.
I say if you can't kill a deer with a single shot rifle, then you're a pussy. If you can't rob a liquor store with a .357 revolver, then you're a pussy.
Okay.
And I don't necessarily disagree with that. I don't disagree with everything, but here's what the next guy says. Why are guns even the issue here? What if he killed everyone with a knife? Would knives be banned? Now, I have actually heard, to be fair, I'll read a little more of what he wrote here. Would knives be banned? They wouldn't think once about the possibility of banning knives from that point on.
Right.
So from our nation's standpoint, we get to choose which murder weapons are more acceptable among society.
Oh, God.
Here's the thing, seriously, about this, and I'm glad our listeners are engaging in this conversation on our website, at dynamikewebsite.com. Realistically, the thing about the knife argument, which I've heard brought up on Crossfire and Paul Lazon and other shows, is if you've got a guy with a knife in a dormitory, he is not going to be able to stab over 40 people.
Right.
Someone will overtake him. If he is standing there with a weapon that's got a magazine in it, and he only has to do is go boom and reload and da 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 da, that's the difference between a knife and a gun.
Obviously,
but the guy on our website is bringing up a point that a lot of pro gun people are bringing up right now.
Well, why not then just throw in Mr. So and So in the kitchen with a candlestick? You know, that whole thing. I mean, it's ludicrous.
Oh, it's like we're playing Clue.
Yeah, it's
Clue.
Right. That's the game I was thinking of, Clue.
Well, you know, the people that are passionate.
Colonel Mustard.
There are people that own guns, and then there are hunters, and then there are people that truly are passionate about guns, and they are a small segment of America, but they are an incredibly well-represented segment of America, and an incredibly vocal, especially when it comes to politics, segment of America, and the power of this lobby and the way our government works right now, they will not be undone. I don't see it happening. I've been watching this debate for a million years, and it just doesn't happen.
And it happens every time this type of thing happens. And my question would be,
you can still buy assault weapons.
That was my question. If someone out there riddled me this, and I don't want to hear about Second Amendment and when they wrote that rule way back in the day,
in colonial times,
they had no idea, our forefathers, that you would be able to buy automatic weapons.
Right. Weapons that can take out that many people. And somebody would call in and say, he didn't have automatic weapons. He had a 9mm handgun and a .22 handgun.
And he sure didn't have a lot of ammo.
And, you know, the thing is, and the way I understood it from the preliminary reports that have come out, is that, you know, in the state of Virginia, there is no waiting period. It's you can't buy... You know, two in one day, I think that's what it was.
The more I think about this...
You go in and buy one that same day. You go in the morning, buy a gun, take care of what you had to take care of, and you can do it on that day with no background check.
The debate in this country, I think, should be, how come it was so easy for this one crazy guy to get these guns and get all the ammo in the first place? Why is it so goddamn easy to get a gun in America?
Because the argument that the gun lobby would make is that if you prevent the average American from being able to go in and get all the guns and all the ammo that he wants, then the only way to get guns will be through the black market and illegally, and they will tell you that then only the criminals will have guns. But the point is...
Why don't we try it that way?
But here it is. It's contradictory.
We've tried it the other way, and it doesn't seem to be working.
When you get a guy like this who, you know, at least preliminarily, does not have any kind of criminal background problem.
Right.
You know, this guy was your average guy that went in and bought a gun.
Here's what I don't get about you gun nuts. And I'll say it. I don't care what the frig you think. I know people who own guns. Okay. I guess I understand hunting.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to hunt, you have a hunting gun. If you feel that you need the personal protection to have a handgun in your house, and you do all the stuff, you get a lockbox or whatever.
I'd be remiss if I didn't say, though, that
the people, your chances of being killed or wounded are incredibly enhanced by having a gun in your house. That's just a fact.
But here's my question. Why do we have people who have to have 8 million guns? Who are you people expecting to show up at your front door that you need such a stockpile of guns? I'll give you, maybe you got one to hunt with.
I'm going
to
give you, all I'm doing here, because you know how I feel about it, all I'm giving you here is all the arguments that I've heard over the years, and that, you know what an NRA spokesman would say to you? They would pose this hypothetical situation. They would say, well, maybe if you had a couple of those students who were allowed permits to carry guns, you wouldn't have had this happen. I've heard that.
Well, then maybe we should all just go back to the days of the Wild, Wild West.
That's what, and you know what? There are people who would say exactly. And they wouldn't bat an eye saying that. They would say exactly. That's the way it happens.
This is a dumb thing about America. I hate to say that the rest of the world, that's too much of a generalization. A lot of the world that looks at us and goes, why is this happening? They got it right. I mean, like in England.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Right.
I mean, you don't pull out a gun.
Canada would be a better example.
But London, too. I mean, I know that there's guns in London.
Yeah, I just saw a documentary where they're talking about Canada, and as far as the gun violence that they have and the murder rate with handguns in Canada. And it's interesting to see,
yeah.
You know, since we're on the same continent, it's just interesting to see how they handle it.
And, Mike, here's the argument to that, being a father of a kid in college. Are you telling me that in 2007... Going back to your argument about the kids, are you telling me that I've got to get my kid to carry a handgun when he goes to school just in case some nut job brings a couple of guns and a bunch of ammo so that my son can protect himself?
You're saying it to me like I'm making the argument.
No. I know you are.
I'm saying what they would say to you.
I know it.
I don't believe any of it.
I know it, but I appreciate it.
Right.
I'm saying to you, now, come on, you're doing a good job of this.
Right.
Answer that one back.
As far as you should have your son, no, your son and the NRA spokesperson would say your son should have the right to carry a gun because you know that hopefully that might have prevented.
Shouldn't,
I mean
shouldn't guns and school not? I mean, I know this happened,
right.
But shouldn't school be a sanctuary, a safe place?
Yeah. Well, where people gather in large numbers. And I hate this because I hope people aren't going to misconstrue that.
No, I think everybody knows that you're speaking.
I'm being devil's advocate.
I know, and you're doing a much better job than I could.
Well, what they would say is, I think that really where people gather in large numbers, shopping malls, schools, where somebody's over the age of 18, that, you know, that might prevent a tragedy of this magnitude. Students would think twice before doing something like this if they knew that some of their classmates were going to be carrying weapons.
That's effed up, friends.
That's the argument, and that is an argument that the people that believe that would make without blinking. And again, it would go right back to the original premise where they're saying it's not the guns that kill people. It's, you know, it's people that kill people.
Do you want people to have to give up guns entirely, or do you want better gun laws?
Yes. Can I speak my real mind on this?
Sure,
I'm chomping at the bit to do
go
that.
Go ahead, yeah.
I've said this for a long time, and I know people are going to get pissed off at me. What is the legitimate use of firearms in this country? It's for sportsmen. That's what you hear. You hear, you know, I'm a sportsman. I like the outdoors. I train my kids to use guns. They know how to use firearms properly. What is wrong with using guns to hunt with, but when you're going hunting is the only time you use the guns? You don't carry them. You don't keep them with you. You just go out. Is it so completely whacked out to think that you could have monitored, secure stations in national parks or on the edge of hunting areas in this country where you could actually check a gun out for the hunt, check the gun back in when you're done hunting? Is that whacked out? I don't think it's all that whacked out. I really, really don't. When you're getting down to the bottom of this, of the problems that we have, you know. But you know what? The same documentary that was talking about the murder rate in a place like Canada would say, well, there are tremendous amounts of sportsmen that carry guns and have guns. Mm-hmm. There is, I will tell you that there is something that goes beyond just the gun argument. There is something societal in this country about the murder rate with handguns. It is much more significant than in many other Western countries. That's a fact, too.
It's
not just the guns.
I am a pussy about this. I am so afraid of guns. I nothing scares me more than someone with a temper and a gun in their hand.
Amen.
And the thought that some people, they're standing up for a law that was written hundreds of years ago that has no relevance to today's society is really ridiculous. It's more stupid, obviously, it's more stupid than the IVA stuff,
you know,
that we were trying to discuss.
I hope you don't get mad at me what I'm going to say here, because I don't necessarily, I'm just throwing this out for argument's sake. But the fact is, when you do look at our society and what is entertainment, now the non-comedy venue in this, is it's all about guns. It's all about guns. Show me, you know, the 99.9% of movie action movies.
It's always been about guns.
It's always been about guns.
Always.
And I think that we're fascinated by it. We've always been fascinated by guns in this country.
Mike, hold on.
And shooting and death and murder and all that.
And what do we love best on 24?
We love the shoot 'em ups.
And same on The Sopranos. Why is it, though, that, and it never happens, I would say this about both you and I, we can draw the line between, okay, we're watching this for entertainment's sake, it's exciting, no way in real life could we ever imagine picking up a gun and shooting somebody.
Right.
No matter what happened.
But you know what? And getting back to that thing about having guns in the house, the odds are that, yeah, you and I wouldn't think about it. And if we did have any moment of passion or something like that happened in our lives where we went, you know, out of our minds, just to, even for the briefest possible moment, the odds and statistics bear this out that you are going to hurt somebody if you have access to guns. And that's why the stats bear out that I think it's something along the lines of you're more likely to wound or murder someone you know if that's you have true. A gun in your house than you are the guy. Everybody thinks, hey, you have the gun for protection for that burglar with the little burglar mask that sneaks into your house and you put three rounds into him. It doesn't work that way, guys. It doesn't work that
why
way
are
at
guns,
all.
Really, and I guess we'll take some calls about this. Why are guns so important? Why is it so goddamn important beyond everything else that those people who feel that way want guns more than anything?
That I don't know the answer to.
I don't have a gun and never have, and I've always been anti-gun, but I've had a chance to talk with reasonable, it seemed to me reasonable people who were defenders of the Second Amendment. And what my concern is, and what they've talked about, is the fact that if you let one constitutional amendment go, the others will begin to fall like dominoes. And the other thing I would point out about
things are going so good in this country. Let's stay with our antiquated laws.
But it's very, very important to mention that this is not just the Second Amendment we're talking about. The Second Amendment doesn't have to be touched in order to get our act together as far as handguns.
Yeah.
The Second Amendment can be completely protected without allowing that guy to go in, in a state that he was in. But then again, who's to say he would have been prevented from getting a handgun? But there would have been a waiting period. Waiting period to me equals cooling off period.
Yeah, we clearly need better laws. But I'm sort of for the Second Amendment from the standpoint that I think what they had in mind when our forefathers wrote Ye Olde Law is so that Americans could, if necessary, take up arms against their government.
It was for the militia.
If the government became too oppressive, it was a chance, a way for the people to fight back.
It was for the militia where, in ye olden times where they all grabbed their muskets and they gathered on the town square, to fight the British.
And why is it, I know that I feel totally different about this than a lot of people would, why is it that people feel so strongly about this issue and not as strongly about free speech?
Mm-hmm.
I
worry about
it. It seems to me a lot of people would say, like, what I'm, not to get back to the IMUS thing, but, hey, clean up the airwaves, absolutely, do everything, get all the smut out, we don't care, but I want my goddamn gun.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter, take away this one right, but don't take away this other right.
You know what one of the most frightening things I've ever seen is, and I don't care if people call me a pussy, it's fine, but those gun shows that they have them here in Virginia.
Yeah.
I mean, you actually can go, and where you've got these incredible, lethal assault weapons that are just sitting out on the table. And you go, and at gun shows,
why do you
it's
need
less
that?
regulated than with gunshots.
Unless you're going to rob a bank, why do you need that? Unless you're a bad guy.
Right.
Why do you need something like that?
You don't.
Why do you need to be able to purchase guns at gun shows without a waiting period or a background check?
No, the bottom line, look, and anybody that's halfway reasonable will say, do you need a gun? If you're not in law enforcement, you don't need it for, daily protection. I don't think you need the vast majority of people that own guns probably don't need them.
And please, I already see we have one call on the screen. Don't call up and say, I must had a handgun permit. Because one has nothing to do with the other. I call him a moron for that. Like what? Someone's going to say to him on the street, hey, Imus, you're a racist? And he's going to pull out his gun and shoot him?
Mm-hmm.
Please.
Yeah, I think that if I'm not mistaken, Howard probably had a carry permit as well.
Yeah, he does. I mean,
guys that do what you and I do would be able to in no time to get, and that's a carry permit. I mean, that's where you'd be able to keep it with you at all times.
Conceal and carry.
But I wouldn't, and I actually feel so strongly about this. I was discussing this with one of my neighbors last night, the whole gun thing, and he's a gun owner.
Yeah.
This guy, and he's one of these guys that's got like five or six hunting rifles and, you know, some handguns, all of them legal. And he said to me, well, can you imagine? He said, it's a good thing you don't have a gun. Because, and he was talking about the guy that ran into Frida.
Yeah.
Said, didn't it ever cross your mind that you would just like to go and just blow his head off? And now you're talking about, you want to talk about someone, a situation where you really are pushed to the point of violence. Mm-hmm. My answer to him was no.
Mm-hmm.
I was terribly disappointed in that individual. He never even contacted me to say, hey, I'm sorry, or we were in an accident. The thought of retribution on my part never entered my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Never entered my mind. I'm not saying that I'm better than anybody else, but the way my mind works, I know I'd be found guilty in a court of law, but in a moral court, I could have gone up to this guy and said, you crossed over a double line into traffic. You killed my wife of 25 years. Boom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? And a lot of people would have said, goddamn right. Mm-hmm. That guy took the law into his own. Yeah, that's what we should do. Well, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't. And I don't feel the need to kill the guy who killed my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand. And I'm wondering, when I saw there's that famous footage of the guy that had his son abducted by, I think, a karate instructor, mm-hmm. and waited at the airport until they brought the guy back in handcuffs and actually waited at the airport and shot and killed the guy. And, I wonder sometimes, you know, with your children, if somebody was sexually abusing your children and that you had an opportunity. I mean, everything.
That's a good one, too, Mike.
I mean, that's interesting.
That's great.
But, I mean, it is really, we are, like it or not, we are a country of laws, and you actually have to, you know, realize, you know, when are we going to move along? When are we going to get a little more evolved? I think the events of last week, and then you see something like this, and I just sit there. I think everybody feels the same way over the last couple of weeks. You know, it's just like, you know, when are we going to get beyond some of this stuff? We've got great technology. We've got wonderful progress that we're making in all these areas. We're even making progress on the environment, but yet we sit there and we make no progress in other areas. I mean, does anybody, just on the pure barbarism, everybody says, I can't believe this has happened. Well, this has happened again and again and again, certainly not on this scale, but it happens at schools again and again and again. And you just wonder, where is it? Is it guns? Is it, you know, is it laws, or is it something that nobody's been able to identify yet? Because I can't figure it out. I don't know what's inside of that guy's head.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello. Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. I hear breathing.
We're trying, but you're not there. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, boys.
Hey, hi there.
Hey, I own guns, and I definitely, have kids, and this is a concern
right,
for
hold
me.
Hold on. Let me stop you right there. I'm not going to argue with it. I just want to ask you some questions. How many?
Five.
Why? I asked my neighbor last night the same thing, so don't think I'm picking on you. Why do you need five guns?
Well, I target shoot. It's just more of I wanted a couple different guns of different calibers just for my own personal liking. You know, I don't carry them. I don't have a permit to carry them. But getting on to, why this happens, I mean, it is the people. You can go to D.C. There, it is totally illegal to even possess a handgun in your house.
Right.
But still, repeatedly, people die on the streets by handguns on a nightly and weekly basis.
Yeah, and I've heard that argument again and again, that if we make it illegal to have guns, that the criminals are still going to get guns. I disagree with that. I disagree with that significantly, because I really do believe if you had an all-encompassing federal law mm-hmm. about guns, it would be much more difficult for guns to find their way to the criminals. I disagree with that. I've always disagreed with that premise.
Here's some things to go with that, though. If you notice, Maryland has West Virginia, any state in the country, there is a waiting period. I don't know what information you have. It's a federal law. It's a Brady law. They can't.
And can I just interrupt you, because you're talking about D.C., and everybody loves to talk about D.C. Where are the majority of guns purchased for D.C. crime?
Well,
where are they purchased? You know they're purchased in Virginia, Maryland.
Statistics show these guns that are committed in crimes are not purchased at stores. And really the majority of people that are involved in shootings are already criminals themselves. If you look at the true statistics,
I'm going to hang up on you and get someone else with their opinion.
If it comes up, I do have the Virginia gun laws in front.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you today?
Howdy. What's up? Go ahead.
Well, I just, you know, one thing I wanted to say is I'm glad that, you know, we can have this discussion without people getting hot-headed and everything, and that's what I think what's great about America. However, Mike and Buzz, you mentioned something about background checks at gun shows. What happens is, and I used to work for a gun store for many years, and what happens is when you go to a gun show, you're not going to a place to just buy a gun right off the table. What you're doing is you're basically going to a licensed firearm dealer. Instead of going to his store, he has come somewhere. He has brought his
store. Well, I know that, but it's just still scary.
But the same background checks that are involved in that gun store are the same background checks that are involved at...
Hold on, Buzz is shaking his head now.
As I understand it, that's not true, that there are loopholes in the law that allow dealers to get around that and buyers to get around that at gun shows.
Let me explain why, Buzz. In Virginia, especially, you have two forms that you fill out. You have a federal firearms license form, and you have a Virginia state license form.
Yeah, but you can walk out with a gun that day.
You can walk out with a gun that day. Yes,
so you can put anything you want on that.
Hold on a second.
Virginia does not have any waiting period.
The county
used to have a three-day waiting period. They repealed that about three or 4 years ago.
Hold on, excuse me for a second, because I know you're discussing something with Mike and Buzz. I just have to ask you something.
Yeah.
Why are you personally so passionate about this issue?
Oh, man, I, to be perfectly honest with you guys, I love to do this sport. I mean, everything about it, from different calibers to different types of guns, there's so much fun involved with this entire sport that I wish I could, you know, I mean, I work at a gun range. I'm a range safety officer on the weekends at a gun range, and I can tell you that the guys who come down to this gun range, they go down there, they break a few targets, they have a ball. It's just a whole, you know.
But I think you would agree that not everyone, hold on a second. I think you would agree that certainly not everyone, as a matter of fact, the minority of people who own guns are like you.
Well, no, I really wouldn't have to be honest with you guys. I think most gun owners don't want, I think any American doesn't want anything taken away as far as the Second Amendment, even to the freedom of speech. You know, I think these guys who really tout the Second Amendment as a big deal, they're just stout constitutionalist, you know? I mean, yeah, it was...
What would you think about the idea at your range of somebody, if you had just a bunch of guns, even like lockers where guys kept their own guns that they own, and, you know, they were shooting targets. That's what they did. They target shot, and that was the only time they kept them on a secure location, and that's where they could get them.
Okay, I can answer that. Excellent. I heard you bring that point up on the radio earlier. What happens is... Each gun, actually, it's kind of like a shirt. Each gun fits somebody differently, a right-handed shooter, a left-handed shooter. Not everybody shoots the same type of gun because some guns out there don't perform as well as other guns under...
Well, hold on. Why couldn't you just leave all of your guns? Answer Mike's question, please. Why couldn't you just leave all of your various guns...
At the range.
At the range.
Oh, God, I wouldn't think about doing something like that because I have more faith in the facility of my home than I do any specific range that's far. And besides, that range is, you know, miles away from my house. I wouldn't do that.
How would you feel if we restricted the sale, which we don't do now in Virginia, as I understand it? How would you feel if we restricted the sale of rapid-fire magazines that can hold 100 bullets?
Well, here's what I say to that. Years ago, there was a magazine ban on anything larger than 10 magazines. Firearm manufacturers were not allowed to manufacture magazines larger than 15 rounds. You could buy them overseas. You could still buy them, but they weren't allowed.
You know what? Hold on. You know, you talk too much. Just answer his question. Don't give us a bio, please. Just answer his question.
How would you feel if we stopped that?
Well, I wouldn't. Well, me as a personal target shooter, I couldn't stand it because everybody who target shoots or practices shooting cannot stand to sit there and reload 5-10 bullets. It's a convenience factor, really.
I guess. It's like the herpes pills.
Right. Two pills a day. Because eight pills was a hassle.
Convenience more important than safety?
Or like the Sally Field commercial.
But you know what? Have you seen that commercial for...
It's like for bone marrow or something where she goes, you know, some of my friends have to take four pills a month. Boniva has made it so easy. I only take one. I'm like, you stupid bitch, flying nun. you can't handle taking one pill a week? Oh, someone should shoot her.
Well, it's basically the people that like guns like this guy, it's a hobby for people. It's not people that have guns as a hobby don't think of guns as
dangerous,
you know, things that kill people.
I want to talk to one of those guys, though, that has like 20 guns.
I wish you'd talk to an old buddy of mine who used to get it. We used to get in kind of a gun debate. And I said, well, why do you hunt? And he looked at me straight in the eyes. Because I absolutely love to kill things.
Hello.
And he was being honest.
What do you say to that?
Dynamite. You don't say anything to it.
Hello, Dynamite.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
Howdy, what's up?
Hey, I just have a couple of quick points. I agree with you guys on mostly everything you're saying. You're talking about how ye old forefathers couldn't foresee automatic weapons coming into the realm. But my question to you is, if you interpret that one way, how can you interpret the other amendments completely different?
Yeah.
And I'm going to throw one of them out at you. Freedom of speech.
Hey, listen, I'll give you something. I brought this up last week. I would say in the society we live in now, let's look at all of them. It, like I said last week, I'd like a guideline. What can be said and what cannot be said. We're living under a blanket of free speech. We really don't have it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We really don't. Hey, so, yeah, I would say, look at all of these laws we're talking about.
Right.
What
would you also agree that ye old forefathers did not say, basically freedom of speech was written so that you could talk freely and openly politically without being prosecuted?
But dude, here's
not so much, it's not so much just saying whatever you feel like saying.
But dude, hold on one second. Hear me out on this.
Okay.
Seriously, words don't kill.
No,
I mean, you can call someone a name from now until the end of time and it's not going to kill them. You shoot them with a gun and you kill them. That's the difference.
That's absolutely true, but like I said...
Thank you. Goodbye. We do have to break. We'll take some more calls when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I just need one great heartwarming story. My boss will give me another shot. Nick Chavez, he did a story about Siamese twins getting a little cart so the big one could take the little one to the mall, and that put him in the anchor spot.
I remember that story, Kiki and Tiki. They went to Foot Locker, but the salesman wouldn't let them buy three shoes.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
This show's going to be fun, man.
You know what? I think that everybody is going to vomit due to boredom.
Oh, no. Dumbass.
Be warned. This is extremely grim. So if you have small children in the room, don't let them disturb you.
You boys make me sick. It's time for...
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Living in a scratch-and-dent world, Don and Mike.
I think it'd be only fair if we just take some calls, maybe let people go. We have flapped our gums on this whole gun thing.
We sure have.
See what's going on? I did want to mention to you, I'll save it till tomorrow. Did you know I was going through all of my American choppers? Because I recently got a new DVR, so I'm moving stuff from the TiVo, uh-huh, burning it onto disc.
You're saving your Tubbles?
Oh, yeah. And that's wrong because why?
I don't know. I just, you collect television. You collect television.
I'm
a
hoarder.
You've always collected television.
You know why? There is always that time when the weather's bad.
Right.
The satellite goes out and you go, what do I got?
Yeah.
Well, you know what I got? I got 65 episodes of American Chopper.
Wow. You really are a fan.
Wow.
You're a mega fan. You're much more of a fan than I am.
Who is the third brother who is very rarely on camera?
There's a third brother?
I just rewatched an episode from last season.
You mean the second brother?
The third brother.
Yeah,
you got Paulie Jr.
The third brother.
And Mikey.
Okay.
There's a third brother?
Third brother.
And he's on the show? He was on an episode last year that I rewatched part of last night.
Is he in the design end of things, the computer end of things?
He runs Senior's old sheet metal business.
Right. You're right.
Oh, okay.
What's his name?
Dan.
Dan Tuttle.
Dan Tuttle.
Good trivia. Is he Tuttle-like?
No.
He's not like
he's
any Tuttle.
He's so un-Tuttle. I think it's the only episode I've seen him on. They're talking about building their new place,
right?
Which is not even nearly done yet. And they want him to do the steel work for their new chopper place. And as Senior leaves the meeting with his son, the son says, hey, don't forget, I'm going to need the check tomorrow.
Wow. And 'cause that's the big business. Yeah. Isn't that like the big business that everything springs from?
Right.
I mean, obviously now American Choppers, Orange County Choppers is probably making more money, but that's the cash cow, I think.
So then Senior says, I'll give you the money tomorrow. And then the son says, 15%. And then he's doing his post-interview and he says, well, we'll see how this goes because I've not even talked to my dad in 3 years.
Wow.
Really? And that's like the only time that I've seen Dan Tuttle on the show.
Hmm. So do you think that Dan Tuttle is more on the mama's side than on the daddy's side?
Apparently so. First off, Dan Tuttle appears to be miles ahead of all of the Tuttles just as far as what he's got between his ears.
So perhaps he has he's disengaged from the rest of the Tuttles.
He does not talk or act like the other Tuttles.
I gotta see this guy.
Doesn't sound
I gotta
like
see this guy.
And I wouldn't have known it if I wasn't transferring stuff last night from one machine to the other. Oh, Dan Tuttle! I've not seen this one in a month of Sundays.
When is the new Tuttle Orange County Choppers opening up? When is that?
What do you mean, their store? Or
their new store, their new shop, their new whole, their big new thing.
I don't even know.
Now that would be a broadcast.
Oh, God, you know me. I'd die to do that.
Why not?
Oh, because you know why?
I bet they don't have people knocking on their door to do that, to broadcast from, like, their grand opening.
Do you know how big they are now? Do you know that I pulled into Sunoco to get gas today, and there's a picture of Senior and Junior, and all it says is, they like Sunoco gas?
We like Sunoco gas, which is a nice detail.
It's got nothing to do with gasoline or motorcycles. It's just them.
I'm fascinated by them, too, though, and you've got me kind of ramped up on them. I just like to see their shop.
They're bigger than big, Mike.
I have a programming question. I know they're moving to TLC, or they have made the move. Okay. What about the High Def show on the Discovery High Def?
Good question. Those are reruns.
Okay, but does this mean the Tuttles will no longer be available in High Def?
When TLC gets their High Def channel up, it will be.
Will that be soon?
Well, I don't know, Buzz.
Well, I enjoy you're the unofficial spokesman of the Tuttle family.
That's right.
We want you to know. But Discovery's got a deal to keep running those old episodes.
Those reruns, yeah. And the new time slot for the new American Choppers is awful. It's Thursday night at 9 o'clock. Mm. Same time as CSI, same time as Grey's Anatomy.
They'll rerun it a million times.
Yeah, they always do.
That's their franchise.
Right. I bet the Tuttles are big-time gun owners.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they've mentioned hunting.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Great, thanks.
I have just a quick question. I know you're opposed to guns. Have you ever fired a gun before?
Yep.
You have?
And he did so brilliantly, I might add.
Because I know that...
If Mike was there, I was the worst. We were skeet shooting. We were skeet shooting.
And you hated the instructor, too.
I thought my arm was going to fall off.
I know that the situations like this cause a lot of panic and people to get excited about, you know, different things. And but they... I think what happens is when situations like this happen, people go to the extreme and say whether you should take all the guns off the market, nobody should ever own guns, and this and that and the other.
I've pretty much thought that my whole life.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I have.
I think my mom would argue that point with her because actually in the 60s when the riots were happening, a gun actually saved her life when somebody broke into her house and wanted to kill her, me, and my sisters. So,
well, you've got a personal experience. That's valid.
Wouldn't
you agree that statistics would bear out that you are much more likely to hurt someone close to you if you have a gun in your house than you are to have a life-saving situation like that? I mean,
there have been, statistically, people have been more likely to use knives to kill
families. No, that's not the question. You're changing the argument. In fairness, you have to...
You're not letting me finish.
No, I'm going to let you finish, but you didn't answer the question. I'm talking about the gun statistic.
I'm telling you the gun statistic. Because people are more likely to kill with a knife in the house and even with a gun because it's a more passionate way of killing someone. It's a more personal, passionate way of killing someone.
You know, you watch too much Law and Order, for goodness sakes. Yeah, it's like it's a passionate... personal way of killing somebody.
Yeah, the only thing that freaks me out about having a gun in the house is, having two daughters You know, and then they're scratching around one day, and you hear about it all the time.
I don't think
you
understood your question. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I think the ugly point that nobody really wants to talk about in this is that really one of the biggest tragedies is that this could have been avoided if Virginia Tech had not imposed upon their students' rights to own handguns in their dormitories.
What?
Virginia Tech hadn't made it so that the students could.
So you're another one of the people that is bringing up the argument that if the kids in the college were allowed to carry handguns, one of them would have whipped out their gun and shot this guy when he brought his gun.
I'll say the least, it would have changed the odds.
Oh, you're an idiot.
Didn't talk to him. And
sorry,
incidentally, isn't that pretty much most college campuses in America don't allow you to go rolling around with guns?
No, hello, Don and Mike show.
Good to see you.
We have anyone at registration.
Hello, you're on the air.
No forum.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, you were asking there a little bit ago about somebody that owned a bunch of guns to call in.
Yes.
Yes, we've gotten several people that are gun owners and gun enthusiasts.
But I wanted someone who really has a whole bunch of them.
I own 28 guns. And okay. In the future, I will be inheriting more guns.
Okay, perfect. Now, please, I am not busting balls. I'm asking honest questions.
Yes, sir.
Why do you need 28 guns?
I don't need or have to have any of them.
Well, then why do you have 28 guns?
Because I got my first gun when I was 5 years old. It's part of our family tradition.
Why do you have 28?
I have 28 because I collect them like people collect stamps. To me, it's a passion.
Do I use
all 28 guns? No, I don't use all 28 guns.
How much ammo you got?
I got a lot.
Why?
To have them. I want to go shoot them, then I have the ammunition to go shoot them. I reload my own ammunition also. I have a reloader set up where I can sit down
and
reload 100 rounds if I want to load up 100 rounds.
Okay, now I heard you. Now you have to hear me. My point is, like, you're not collecting baseball cards or Matchbox cars or Barbies. They don't kill people. You don't go buy
animals.
You know. So the whole thing about being a collector, you lose me when you announce that you have enough ammo to fire all of the guns whenever you want to.
Yes, I do. What? None of my guns hold 30 rounds.
So you would actually have to stop and reload manually. My, that must slow you down.
Well, but see, it's all in how people are raised and the way people are brought up nowadays.
I agree with that. I think it's a lot of people that would be gun collectors, gun owners. It comes from their family. It comes from their history.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
The one point I just wanted to make that no one had brought up yet was you were talking about banning guns, and in England and Australia, they tried that. I believe in 96 they banned them in Australia. And crime, I know as far as England, has gone up. Murders have gone up 54%. Armed robberies have gone up 75%.
Yeah, but what's the murder rate over there as opposed to over here?
I have no idea.
It's significantly higher.
It would be like a million times higher here than there. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Oh, sorry. Lost your chance. Hello, Don and Mike show. What's up?
Hello. I have six guns, and I have multiple rounded clips, and I'd like to tell you why I have them.
All right. Please do.
Okay. All the statistics aside, this is our right, and this is to protect me and my wife and my country.
Okay. Now, please tell me. Oh, hold on.
Okay.
I promise I'll let you speak. Answer my question.
Okay.
What is the threat coming to your front door where you have to keep six guns in your house? What's the threat?
Okay, well, let me explain that. I don't keep them all in my house. Some of them are in my vehicle. Some are in my wife's purse. When I go on a trip, I don't take all of them with me. I take the one.
All right, that's fine. Can I ask you a question about that, seriously? Because, you know, I don't doubt that all that's true. Do you ever get concerned? Do you ever get worried that you have perhaps, and really hear me out on this, that you have perhaps increased the odds of something very, very bad happening to you or your wife just because you have those guns, that really they might not be the safety, protective treasures that you think they are?
I will entertain your thought there, and I will address it appropriately.
Indubitably.
Okay, we live in the country, out in the boonies. I don't want to give you too many details. That's a security.
Yeah, we might come and break into your house.
Right. So let's say we're at the end of the road, hypothetically, which we are. I want my wife, and this is a huge issue. She, fear is a factor for her. And the one thing that alleviated her fear is when I showed her last night, I said, sweetheart, look, she said, no, no, the pistol's good enough. I don't want to know how to use the, it's basically like an AK-47. I said, honey, look.
Hold on, dude, hold on a second. You're talking about teaching your wife how to use an AK-47?
Absolutely.
You're retarded.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry. Discussion ends here. You're retarded.
Picture's next to the word paranoid.
I'm sorry. You're an idiot. You're a friggin' idiot. What type of woman needs an AK-47?
He lost me long before that when he says he doesn't always travel with a gun. I mean, what does that say to you? I mean, is he in a car? Is he in a train with
a gun?
How
is it that there are so many of us in our society who have managed to go our entire lives without having anyone break into our homes
right. And
attempt to kill us? How can that be? So many of us have lived without that happening.
Well, and I have to get back to something that I've said again and again and again, and that is, the way I understand this is that if you have a handgun at home, you got a gun in your house, it's not going to protect you statistically as much as it is you're going to go off one night, have a few cocktails, have a fight with the missus, and in a moment of passion, you're going to put one in her head.
See, you're coming at it from a logical, statistical standpoint. Mm-hmm. We're getting nowhere with people. I'm just trying to ask, just like your average rummy out there.
Well, the thing is,
they got 6 or 8. Why you need 6 or 8?
This isn't a logic thing in America. This isn't a logical question. This is people that have them, are passionate about them. I know many, many people that do. And the people that are against guns are not nearly as passionate about it. You don't hear it. You don't hear people talking like that.
There's really not a strong anti-gun lobby. Like,
well, not as much as there is a program. There was a London.
Not as passionate.
That last guy was fearful and insecure and, if I may say so, paranoid.
Hello, that's Don and Mike show. So am I. I don't have a gun, though.
Yeah, right.
Hello.
You could be paranoid.
Hey, Don and Mike.
And I'm fearful. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
I've got like 35 guns.
I don't believe. You're like the gay guy. I didn't believe he was a gay. I don't believe he got 35 guns.
Now, the reason that no one's ever broken into your house and tried to kill you is because you are loved.
Beloved, Rob.
There are people who are not loved.
Don and Mike show. Hello. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah. Hi.
And here he is.
What's up?
Yes, it's you. Just... Go ahead. Come on.
Hello.
Go. Jesus Christ.
Ah!
All right, just your chance. Just your chance. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hi, this is Pam calling from Virginia. How are you guys?
We're doing great, Pam.
I'm hoping that I'm somewhat the voice of reason. I do own a gun permit. I have a safe in my home. I do keep a handgun in my purse when I travel alone. My husband works third shift. I live in a rural area. I did take a gun safety course.
Good.
I do keep it locked up and the ammo separate when I'm at home because I do have a 14-year-old.
Hey, Pam, I have to ask you a question.
Sure.
Do you stick?
I'm sorry, what?
Or are you no stick, Pam?
Am I nursing?
No stick, Pam.
There was a Pam joke, the cooking spray.
Go ahead. So anyway, you've got a gun and you locked it up. You locked the ammo up.
Right.
Yes, so you're saying you're a very responsible gun owner.
Why do you have a gun? Why do you feel the need?
Because the police can't be everywhere. And just my personal experience, when I went to take my gun safety course and I went out to the clerk's office to fill the paperwork out for my carry permit.
You know, I just hope to Christ with people like you that my car never breaks down in your neighborhood and I never walk up towards your window and, you know, looking for someone like to use the phone and you go, oh my God.
Well, you assumed, Don, I'm not coming to the door with a loaded pistol.
You go boom, boom, boom. So you're keeping it for what? You're keeping the gun for what?
It's for my own personal protection.
Are you hot?
For my personal protection because the police cannot be everywhere.
You know, she took the gun safety course. She has the permit. She only has one. She's by
herself.
And
I do collect them because I do.
She does collect them.
I target you also.
You know, in this country, though, don't we glorify it? I mean, it's since the days of cowboys and Indians when you're watching the movies. You've got the guy with the gun. I mean, we do glorify it in this country.
We may, but I don't. I enjoy target shooting. My husband was in the military. He collects guns as well.
Have you hunted?
Yes. I personally did not want to have them in my house.
Was it a thrill?
Not being safe and not knowing how to use them and be safe with them.
Well, no. If you look, the law is you can. You're within your rights. the law
says
you can.
I'm not in that case. I don't have 1,000 rounds of ammunition in my home.
I don't think people that have guns are nutcases.
We're actually trying to have a dialogue today with someone like you who maybe can explain to us why you feel that we don't agree with you. I'm speaking for myself. I don't agree with you.
I understand.
But I appreciate the fact
that as a woman who is on the road a lot at night alone, and as a woman who lives in a very rural area whose husband works third shift for the last 15 years of our marriage, and being there alone, I have 5 dogs, okay? If you want to call me crazy, I'm the dog lady, okay? And I actually feel more secure with the dogs being in the yard at home than even having my pistol there.
You're more reasonable than a lot of people.
But honey, I'm sorry. You're going to lose me on the argument. I don't believe in guns. You do. Thank you for the call. I don't know what else to say.
But I also believe in being responsible for them, with them.
Did I ever tell you?
And for them.
All right. That is good. Did I ever tell you about my neighbor that had a secret compartment in his drywall, a section of drywall that looked like wall that he could knock out?
Oh, yeah.
And behind the wall was a non-assembled AK-47 that he prided himself on the fact that he could assemble it, you know, in one of those record times and be ready to shoot.
In the dark.
In the dark.
Like a guy in the movies.
In the dark, no problem at all. I mean, you know, there are people that believe that that is a safety issue, that they are safer having a gun in the house than we are without guns in our houses.
Yep. I don't know. Worked out okay for us thus far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I come in tomorrow and some guy broke into my house and shot me in the head 8,000 times, well, go get a gun and shoot him 1,000 times.
Though. Now, you are a collector of things, as am I. Do you understand the collecting of guns if they don't hoard ammunition with it?
No.
No.
Really?
I really don't, Robbie. I'm sorry, I don't.
Okay.
Museum, maybe. Well, I do. I mean, I understand why people would collect guns. I mean, it's legal. They have a right to do it, and they collect them because they
appreciate in value.
Well, no. Guns to them are like golf clubs to other people or motorcycles to other people.
Right.
It's a hobby. It's a hobby. They shoot, and that's what they dig. They're into it. The difference is their hobby could put a hole in somebody's head.
Yeah.
I want to hear some of these responsible gun owners, and I believe there are a few out there. I want to hear them say, yeah, there are nuts out there. There are people with too many guns. There are people with the wrong kinds of guns.
I don't think
and
the
laws are bad. I don't think when we're talking about this tragedy yesterday, I think the issue is really that somebody can walk into a store without having any kind of information that they're going to double check on and walk out with a gun that they can kill.
I do have the latest on the gun purchase for yesterday's incident, if you're interested.
All right, sure.
One of the guns, the 9mm, the Glock, was purchased at along with 50 rounds of ammunition at Roanoke Firearms in Roanoke, Virginia. It cost him $570. He made the purchase a little over a month ago. That's what we know so far. The owner says...
So, see, that's where a background check wouldn't have mattered.
The owner says Cho showed all the necessary documents needed to purchase the weapon, including 3 forms of identification. The store does have surveillance video, but they don't have video of this purchase.
Listen, everybody, I'm not trying to be a shock jock. I'm just scratching my head. I don't get it. I'm sorry. I'm all for free rights. I don't get why someone needs to go to a store, buy a gun, and 3 rounds of ammunition. I don't get it. You're never gonna win me over on this argument.
In this case, he bought
300 rounds of ammunition.
Yeah, excuse me.
He bought 50 rounds of ammunition just in this one visit.
Yeah, you're not gonna win me over on this. So, you know, sorry if I'm pissing off listeners today. I'm just not for guns.
You know, a lot of people have talked though about the ammunition issue. As far as when you're buying that much ammunition, you're not going out to target shoot. You're not. Well, or maybe you are.
Maybe.
I don't know. It sucks. It sucks. It really does.
Chris Rock did have a great bit, though. Mm-hmm. Remember Chris Rock's
yes,
bit?
I do.
You know, really, guns aren't the problem. Bullets are the problem. You make bullets that cost $5,000 each,
right?
You'd have some guy go down the street and go, now, hold on a second. Is it worth $5,000 to kill you? I don't think. Maybe I'll just punch you.
We're going to have guns for the foreseeable future. Yeah. I don't see anything changing. I really don't.
All right. Anyway, that's it. It's too bad our world sucks ass so bad that we can't just talk about American Idol all the time.
Yeah, it does suck.
I've not even mentioned my ass rash.
How is your ass rash?
Get back. Thanks for asking. Much better, my lord.
Very good, my lady. Has your other lady been creaming it?
She sure has.
Atta girl.
On a regular basis.
That's a good thing.
And now her hand is starting to scratch.
Sure.
Her hand is starting to itch.
Uh-huh. She's got the rash has transferred itself to her hand.
She lost 2 nails.
She actually identified... last night, as we were going through, and we're almost done with this, my rash is almost gone.
The salve that you got from the doctor is working?
Yes. She said that the spots that I have left by my thighs appear to be hive-like.
Really? So they're raised areas?
Yes.
Like allergy or something?
Yeah, it's got to be goddamn sexy.
Well, you've already had medical attention.
With me laying naked on the bed, and as she says, okay now,
spread your legs.
Yeah, Daddy likes.
She says, see? She says, looks like hives. Oh. And right away it's like,
gone. Moment gone.
But when she's done the application in the past, has that resulted in anything of a... See, there you are. I was trying to be poetic here. And you no, dove right into the, you know, into the beanbag.
You know. I mean, well, I defy you to get someone with a cream down there and not have.
Yeah.
Now, I know where you're going. You're going prostate city. And I'm telling you.
Well, I mean, the fingers do tend to wander a little bit.
Some do. Mike, there is a stretch of skin.
You'd clench up like a bear trap, right? If she got into that area. Well, we're making progress now, aren't we?
Wow, you could. She does not go south of that, though.
Right. But or if you're lying on your stomach north.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Thank you.
Is there
or west?
Or west, east, west, out west? They'd say.
And what a treat it is. And I say, Jan, tonight. Yes. Guess what? I lay back on the.
Is the rash there too?
No.
Oh, thank right. God.
No. That's good. That would be...
You don't want that. You know, that's where... That's a high friction point.
It's close to the taint, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's like right on my inner thigh.
Way up at the top.
It would have gotten there if you hadn't given it attention. It
yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
So almost all gone? Over. Really about... give me a percentage. How much gone?
85%.
Oh, now. You're almost done.
Oh, good. 85%.
So you don't have many of those creamings left.
That's right. We don't, Mike.
It's disappointing.
That's right. We don't.
Well, maybe you could do it just like to moisturize. You know, you'll probably it'll probably be a good idea to moisturize. So after she's done with the salve, you probably want to put some sort of like oil of Olay on there or something to keep your thighs supple.
Listen, if I want to get like the massage fantasy going,
mm-hmm.
I can do that anytime I want to.
Okay.
If I went home and said, get some oil tonight,
mm-hmm.
let's lay out a towel, I'm pretty sure she would go, okay.
That's
idea.
Good. That's an idea for a good-looking Tuesday. Oh, she won't have any of it, though.
No?
Why? No. I just don't think I can sell her on it. I'll try.
Too messy? You're talking about Janet or Carla?
I'm thinking about Carla right now.
I was going to say, what are you going to have?
As soon as you said lay out the towel, I just started getting into my own fantasy there. You know? Absolutely.
Make sure it's a big enough towel. You don't want like a hand towel.
A face cloth.
Big towel.
Dude. Just wear the towel like a fig leaf.
Just wear it. Just get a big towel. I told you I went to that place in Indianapolis with the disco dentist.
Yes.
Dr. Chuck Crane.
Right.
What a great place that was. My God. Like at a strip center.
Yeah.
1977. Pull your little car in there. You go. You lay down $5. You lay on a table. You get back in your car and you go home. I'd never heard of anything greater.
We ran that segment on your last vacation. And remember, you didn't have money to tip. And you had to go back. And she said, you came back. Nobody ever comes back.
I'm the only guy. All right. We got a break. Uh-huh. God damn, we ran long today. See what guns do.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't care. I'm thinking about three magic words right now. Now the front. Now the front. Roll over.
Oh, man.
Hello. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
There goes the moment.
Here's why.
Okay. Let's talk about baseball.
I'll stay over here.
Whew. Wow. You know what that smells like? A gun.
Yes.
I smell sad.
I just fired a gun in my pants.
That was Don's potato gun.
When we come back, we've got a variety of people with a variety of stuff having to do with TV and the movies, right?
Yes.
We got like two things that are backed up.
Yes.
We'll talk to both of them. And me, I'm backed up too.
No, you're not. Not after that.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, as it turns out, Katie Couric had more to say today.
Oh, very good.
Katie Couric's notebook.
Hi, everyone. One of the fastest growing groups in America is also one of the biggest, men and women who are severely gay. This group grew by 50% from 2000 to 2005, with 3% of the population now severely gay. That is so gay. For all of us of all sizes, this news could mean a looming gay crisis in medical care. The severely gay are more prone to unacceptable behavior, and that can double the cost of health care. Americans are not the only ones at risk, though. The Amish Medical Association Journal now recommends that doctors measure not only ordinary citizens, but retarded Amish girls. This should be a new vital sign, one doctor said. Clearly, the witness is taking a toll. This should serve as a wake-up call. We have a growing problem, and the ones who are growing are gay. That's a page from my notebook. I'm Katie Couric, CBS News.
It makes a lot of sense, Mike.
Thank you, Katie. Mike Show. You're right.
That's so gay.
You know their act. The Don and Mike Show.
You boys make me sick.
Do we?
Oh, hell yeah.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody.
They know how to use their faces properly. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I didn't like it.
He prefers to be treated like a dog. And also a toilet.
He's a jackass. Dumbass. Dumbass.
Okay, on the phone now. Here we go. We're doing so much talking about guns today. It turns out we had two people from the entertainment world. One guy we put off till tomorrow. Okay, the guy making a slasher film.
Okay,
about golf.
Is it called Cleaver?
No, it's very close to Cleaver, though.
It's not Christopher Moltisanti.
It is not. On the line now is a guy named Steve Byrne. I don't know if you've seen the ads for the Wedding Crashers show on NBC.
Yes, yes.
Here's why I'm for this show. It's not a takeoff on the movie,
right?
It's very much like Punk'd. They go to the bride and the groom in advance. And they say, what can we do to F up the wedding? Only the bride and groom know what's really going on.
Right. So, in effect, all of the guests at the wedding are punked.
Yes, I've seen an episode where they go through. Have you seen where the cake just falls? Mm. It's one of those, like, 20-tier cakes.
Right.
And it falls.
On purpose.
And you see the parents going, oh, my God. And a guy running out and going, ha-ha, you've been wedding crashed.
You have to have a couple that's getting married that really enjoy a good joke to make this work.
Now, here's what else makes Steve Byrne funny. He's Asian funny, and he's going out on tour. The name of his group is the Kims of Comedy.
The Kims of Comedy.
The Kims of Comedy.
Right.
So here he is. Here he is right now on our phone from the Real Wedding Crashers. Here is Steve Byrne. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve. Steve, are you there?
Yep.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
There we go.
Hey, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. Seen a couple of episodes of this show. Pretty good stuff. Much better than I thought when I heard the thought for a Wedding Crashers TV show. I thought, oh my God, they're going to take a great movie and
they're going to make it a spinoff. No, this is the real deal.
I don't know if you heard that. I pretty much describe. I've seen the first couple of episodes, and it's very much like Punk'd.
Yeah, exactly. And you've seen actually more than I have, so I haven't seen any of it.
So you really have to go in and get permission from the couple before this thing can... I'm curious as to how difficult that is to find couples that really want to pull one on the entire wedding party.
I'll tell you the truth. I was amazed at how many people actually signed up for it, because I heard that it was upwards of quite a few thousand people that requested to be on this thing.
That mystifies me that would actually happen, but you found them and you do it, and I would imagine it's dangerous work, isn't it, Steve?
It was definitely dangerous work, because every Tuesday or Wednesday we get the script or the outline of what it is we're going to do, and every episode, as you saw, it's got three or four kind of punked-like pranks that we pull on, and then there's the wedding itself that goes on. And, including the pranks or whatever, I was just like, there's no way that you can do this without someone getting hurt or someone's going to get shanked. I mean, it's probably me, because you want me to be a priest during a wedding and answer a phone call? It's like, are you crazy?
Especially if it gets into the reception. I would think it gets more dangerous as the booze starts to flow.
Pretty great.
Oh, yeah.
Because they wait until, at least in the episodes I saw, they wait until the last possible second to turn to the mother of the bride, the father of the bride, to say, hey, we knew about this all along. How did you get approached for this, and how long do you think the shelf life on this show can be?
I'll be honest, because I heard that that NBC is really happy with this show. That's why they're promoting the heck out of it, and I guess that they do want to do a second season. But I'll be honest with you, because I don't know how they could do it, because every wedding, if somebody's going to pick up a cake or a dress or whatever, they're going to go, is this part of that show?
Depending on the success of the show, if the show is a smash, the second season is going to be challenging.
Yeah, I think it'd be a lot more difficult for the second crew to come in and, and be able to pull it off, because this one, it was kind of like the first season of Punk'd, where nobody expected any of this stuff to happen. And I think even when these people are in the midst of being pranked or whatever they're going to call it, you know, it'll be on T-shirts, I'm sure, in 3 months. But I would equate it, because me and one of the other guys, Gareth, kept saying to ourselves, it's unbelievable we're getting away with this stuff, because 6 episodes, maybe 3 or 4 pranks an episode, and weddings, we're like, one of these is not going to work out. But every single one of the stunts or pranks worked out.
Wow.
And I was like, you know what, it's just like getting a bad haircut. Like, you go to Supercuts, you sit down, you're getting an awful haircut, they messed it up, but you're going to sit there, and you're going to take it, you're going to put your mouth, and you're going to pay for it, and you're going to tip the guy at the end of the day.
Don mentioned the wedding cake. Can you give us any other previews of some of the stuff that you do to these weddings?
I'll drive the car away, my God.
Me, personally, I was a priest in that episode, I think, the promos that they keep showing. One of the episodes, I'm a psychic. And my favorite one is I'm a wedding singer at one. And the funny thing about it to me was that the executives at NBC and the people producing, they're like, look, we're not going to pay for any rights to any songs that you sing, so just go out there and scat.
Oh. And just, I would imagine, now, who's the angriest person you've dealt with during taping all these?
Oh, man. I would have to say that probably in that first episode where I was the priest, the groomsmen were right to my left. I mean, right there. And these guys, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but they were boozing it up like there was no tomorrow. And I think it was after the first wedding that they're like, no more hard liquor.
Yeah. It's going to be beer and wine only.
And the other thing, the other thing that I found amazing was I could see a guy maybe going to his buddies or going to someone at the NBC and going, you want to screw up my wedding? Okay, that's great. That'll be real funny. But in every case, the bride is in on it as well. How does NBC find, I mean, forget the fact that
I can't believe thousands of people have signed up for this. It's incredible.
Where do you find a bride that's willing to ruin what they all think is the most special day of their lives?
Yeah, how do they justify it?
I think they justify it by their 7-day vacation going to Mexico.
That's true. Yeah, that's
so they get the free honeymoon out of the deal.
Yeah, they get the free honeymoon. But I will say this. I think that every one of the shows that we did after the wedding, when we announced, hey, this wedding's been crashed, which was the big line or whatever, everybody would celebrate and stuff. And it seemed like every one of the people that were involved in the wedding parties would say, this is so them. You know, I think it's a very, not every couple obviously can do this or would want this done, but it takes a very specific kind of couple with a good sense of humor and a good bunch of friends and family that can take a joke.
You know, no matter how good the couple is, though, I just have to imagine you got grandma, grandpa, Uncle Ed, you know, all these different people that are going to say for the rest of their lives, you know, you really ruined your day. You really ruined it.
Well, Steve, you're really great. You're really great on that show. I had seen you on Chappelle's show, I think, a couple of years ago. If I'm not mistaken, don't you look like, don't be offended by this.
Brad Pitt?
An Asian.
Rosie O'Donnell?
An Asian Kevin Pollak.
I'm trying to picture that right now.
Hold on a second. Who's the guy that was Bobby Darin?
Kevin Spacey?
Kevin Spacey.
Even better, an Asian Kevin Spacey.
Are you an Asian Kevin Spacey, Steve?
Well, I'm not into guys, so no.
No, I meant the celebrity that you most resemble would be an Asian. Well, let me get his.
So you're part Korean and part Irish. How does that work?
It doesn't, to be honest with you.
Hold on, here you go, Mike. Come over here and look at this picture.
All right, hold on, I gotta go around and see
it. Here you go. Yeah, right, now tell me if I'm wrong. Look at this, I've seen him on Chappelle. Does he look like?
I think he's gorgeous.
But does he look like, what's his name, the guy, Kevin Spacey?
He looks a little like Kevin Spacey.
Oh, he could be the Oriental guy in The Usual Suspects. I mean, if Kevin Spacey was an Oriental guy, and is that okay to say with you, Oriental guy? What should I say?
I don't care, man. I'm totally not offended by any of that.
What is the dominant?
I heard everything under the sun. So,
what is the dominant side of you? The Irish side or the Korean side?
Well, I'd like to say I'm Asian from the waist up.
That's probably a good thing.
As long as we're just speaking in generalities, which I love doing.
Mm-hmm.
How's Bobby Lee? Since all Asian comedians must know each other.
Mm-hmm.
How's Bobby Lee?
There's actually a select group of us. Actually, I think you guys broadcast in the California area, and I'm doing a show with him at the Wilton Theater May 12th in Los Angeles. So I'm working with Bobby Lee, obviously, on Mad TV, and he's crazy. He's absolutely probably one of the craziest human beings I've ever known in my life. We were going to San Francisco together, and I remember him telling me this story how nobody in his family ever wanted to babysit him because his uncle took him to the mall when he was 7, and his uncle lost him. Bobby ran away from him, and he's running around the mall. He's scared out of his mind. He's nervous. He thinks Bobby got kidnapped, and all of a sudden he sees a crowd at the food court, and he goes walking over towards this crowd, and Bobby is naked in the fountain of the mall, swimming.
So that comes, he comes by it honestly on Mad TV, then.
Oh, yeah.
That guy loves to take his clothes off.
Yeah, what you see is what you get. It's disgusting. He's got the body of a thumb. It's all.
The body of a thumb.
What about your touring group going out this summer, the Kim's a Comedy?
Kim's a Comedy, that's the show I'm doing with Bobby and Dr. Ken. And Dr. Ken, he's in an upcoming movie called Knocked Up, which the guys from 40-Year-Old Virgin did. And Bobby and Ken just filmed Pineapple Express together, which is Judd Apatow as well. So we're just doing that one show May 12th at the Wiltern. But this summer I'm doing like my own MySpace tour. Okay. I'll be getting all the, it's like 15 cities, all improvs and funny bones all across the country, and that schedule's like up on my MySpace. So,
well, Steve, you're a funny dude. Like I said, I've noticed you on Chappelle, seen you on Mad TV. You're a funny guy, and really, the show Wedding Crashers does look funny. Monday night at 10 o'clock, 9 Central on NBC.
Good luck, and keep your head up for that, Steve, because I would imagine it's going to be dangerous.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, very much. I appreciate it. It was good talking to you.
Nice talking to you, dude.
Thanks a lot.
Take care, guys. Bye.
I'm telling you, I'd seen that. They sent that DVD, and the first two episodes are killer fun.
Good. You know, I've been to a couple of weddings recently, and it just seems to me that I can't imagine. You're right, the women.
Yeah,
that would do this. I mean, I wouldn't think they'd have any takers for this. It's always the special day.
There's the one bride sitting up on the dais in the, I think it's the first episode, when the guy stands up in the back and starts screaming and goes outside and starts up a car and starts driving around the parking lot. And you see everyone going hysterical except the bride and groom that are sitting there. They almost look like the statues on top of a wedding cake.
Because they know the joke.
Because right. They're in on it. Sure. And that's what's great is that they're on it. They're in on it. You're in on it. But nobody that's there is in on it.
And, I would think that the bride and groom are fine with it, but they are going to have people pissed at them for the rest of their lives.
I really don't see brides buying into it. You know, Carrie, to this day, if she gets a glass of wine in her, will still hold a grudge against the disc jockey at our wedding.
Really?
Yeah.
That's their special day.
Yeah, and she really, she's holding it real close. She's not going to ever let it go.
Was she mad at Rudy Martsky from USA Today for having the beer television?
She was mad when Rudy took off his clothes and got in the fountain.
Well, we all were.
At Rob's wedding, our friend Rudy Martsky from USA Today, was it the Wisconsin Badgers that were playing that day?
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
It was a college football game. He had a TV that was in a fake Coors Light beer can. Right?
Yeah, it had the antenna and everything. It was fascinating.
So we were sitting at Rob's reception, and everybody's like making nice and stuff. Did he even do it in the church?
Well, he didn't do it in the church, but he did it in the church parking lot.
He had it with him.
At one point, my uncle came up to me and said, Rob, there's a guy in the parking lot, and I think he's asleep, and he's got a beer can. I said, nah, it's just Rudy.
Rudy with his beer TV.
But I didn't know it was a TV then. I just still knew it was Rudy, though.
I remember everybody sitting at the table, and your mom and dad were coming around, and Rudy had his nose like 1 inch away from the screen.
Mm-hmm. Dedicated to his profession, covering sports on TV for USA Today.
That's what he was doing.
Yeah.
Impossible to tell what the guy was doing because he was looking at a little 1-inch screen.
Mm-hmm.
And you just see a guy hunched over, apparently staring at the front of a Coors Light can.
Yeah, and he analyzed the broadcasters, and he couldn't even hear the telecast, and he's just sitting there staring at the thing. The only thing that would have made that better for Rudy is if it had real beer in it.
Do you remember us busting his ball saying, how can you possibly write a column about watching this, because that's what his job was,
right. Mm-hmm.
Sports journalism. How could you possibly write a column about having watched this game on TV when you're watching it on a beer TV while you're drinking at Rob's wedding?
And you know the other thing about Rudy, stay long enough at one of his house parties and the porn would come on the TV.
And he was very subtle about
it. On the big screen, right?
On the big screen, he'd go to the DirecTV porn.
You know, there exists a picture of Rudy at my wedding with the beer can. If I run into it during the move, I'll put it up on the website because it's a dandy. I think the mouse is in it, too.
There's a name from the past, Rudy Martsky,
yeah.
And all the crap we did to him.
God, I remember one time Fried and I were over with Rudy and Mouse. Sal, his good friend Sal with the sauce.
Gladys and Bruce.
Sal, who had the talking picture frame idea.
That's right. You're going to make a fortune.
Right. We had ordered, we're having drinks, and we're going to watch some NCAA game, and we're going to have pizza. So Rudy ordered like four gigantic pizzas with everything on them and laid them all out on the coffee table.
Right.
And then proceeded to take his shoes and socks off and put his feet right up on the table.
Next to the pizza box.
Yeah. The open box.
The pizza boxes were open.
Right.
They were open. And he's like, what's the problem? My feet are not touching the food.
Nothing will come close to the tour of the Rudy Mansion in Atlanta.
Oh, yes.
When we were putting that that broadcast together, and you actually went into the Rudy hamper. We found an atomizer jug of Vaseline next to his bed.
And then we found his skid-marked underpants.
We found his hamper.
He was having this party, this Super Bowl party, that had every broadcast. I mean, Al Michaels was there. Boomer Esiason was there. Madden was supposed to be there. Leslie Visser, all of these people doing the Super Bowl broadcast.
All the broadcasters were there that do sports on TV.
We're at his big Super Bowl party. We're upstairs in his bedroom finding his dirty underpants. And I think, did we even get on the DJ microphone at one point to announce to everyone that we had found Rudy's underpants?
Yeah, you found something like some kind of stick.
I don't remember what it was. It was a Sharpie.
It was a Sharpie.
You picked them up with a Sharpie.
And you're holding them. And I think we went out to, Rudy had one of those modern houses where it had kind of an atrium effect where you could walk out and there's a balcony inside the house and you could look down at the guests. And I think you were holding the underpants up with a Sharpie. And that's after we found the Vaseline. I mean, an amount of Vaseline. I didn't know that they sell that at Costco.
The atomizer jug.
It was amazing. It was an amazing thing. And when it was pay dirt because it was the natural conclusion. That's really what we were looking for. And when I think I yelled at you, I said, hamper! And you came over and you dove into this hamper and it didn't take 2 seconds to take out a pair of Fruit of the Loom briefs with a little yellow stain.
Big brown crown. I mean, talk about violating a guy's privacy.
It was horrible.
It was only Rudy.
I know it's only Rudy. The guy invites us to his home
right.
to meet all of these celebrities.
Probably the biggest party he's ever had.
Allows us to tape a broadcast from his home.
Thinking that we're going to interview all these sports on TV people. They didn't want to be interviewed.
And do you remember when he would say, okay, guys, now you sit right here. I'm going to bring by Sean McManus, who's the president of CBS Sports. Mike and I would be sitting in a room, and this guy would come in, and the conversation would go like this. Test 1, 2. Okay, Don and Mike Show, we're here with Sean McManus. How's it going? It's going okay.
It's a big week. Super Bowl week.
Very excited.
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty much what we had.
And I think you made the move to go upstairs when I think Al Michaels had been approached and declined to come on the show.
Yep.
And at that point, he said, okay, you said, F this. We're gonna take a different tack. And we went up. Let's just tour Rudy's bedroom.
And imagine this. God, what friends we are.
Much more entertaining.
Yeah. We immediately start going through his drawers. I mean, not his underpants drawers. Yeah. Literally.
His drawers on his nightstand.
Shoulder his nightstand. We're lifting up his mattress to see if he's got anything under the mattress. Mm-hmm. Going through his hamper. Finding his dirty skin underpants. And then bringing them out to the crowd.
On a Sharpie.
All of those people from ABC and ESPN.
And, you know, you had a microphone, and we were doing the broadcast, so you're at the top of your lungs saying something like, Rudy, are these yours? And you know what? And the thing was, you know why he didn't get embarrassed? The party was so involved, nobody was paying attention to us. Yeah. We were like monkeys doubled over laughing as you're holding his underwear up on a Sharpie.
If you remember, and he really didn't get mad, bless his heart.
No, he really didn't.
He only got annoyed after he heard about it, after it was on the radio.
And he was not annoyed about the underwear. He was annoyed about the Vaseline.
Yeah, and I remember how we countered that. We asked him about the Vaseline, and he said, well, come on, guys. Sometimes I'm a morning guy.
Oh, God.
Good. But the scope of that party, I just remember. Do you remember he had a bus that was shipping people in? I mean, this is a huge deal.
Yeah. It was in Atlanta. The Super Bowl was in Atlanta.
He just moved to Atlanta in his new house.
It was
out
the
there.
Year that it snowed in Atlanta.
And the funny thing was, do you remember Rudy's house? Rudy's house in Atlanta was exactly like Rudy's house in Virginia.
I think they moved it there.
It was exactly the same kind of place.
Do you remember who the biggest dick was? And not that he was a dick like
that. Yeah, I know, not a dick, but just a guy that was, hey, he's Mr. Everybody.
Craig Sager?
Yeah, that's the guy's name.
Yeah, the guy, the guy from TNT who had on something literally that Snoop Dogg threw up. It's this guy's claim to fame, his broadcasting claim to fame is that he wears wild-colored jackets while he does
and he was the
NBA sideline report.
And he was in his cups. He had been having a few cocktails. And he was the official party wrangler for
He
Rudy.
Was the guy that was getting people from the hotel onto the shuttle bus to go to Rudy's house.
Who's here for the Martsky party? Hey, you guys here for the Martsky party? Hey, guys, how are you?
Yeah. Aren't you Craig Sager?
Craig Sager, TNT, how you doing?
Super duper. And then everybody, you know, basically TV people, just like radio people, a bunch of people walking around being dicks.
Yep.
That's all it was, so right to the underwear bin.
And as I recall, the only person that really laughed at Rudy's underpants was Norman Esiason.
Yeah, Boomer liked
it. I think Boomer Esiason really is the only... We should have asked him about that. We had him on the show right before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, do you think he'd remember the two idiots that were up on the balcony holding up Rudy's underwear?
I remember that night. He laughed like it was the funniest thing he had ever seen in his life.
Yeah, he understood the underwear humor. Well, I mean, it was gold. It was gold, Jerry.
I mean, literally.
It was dark gold.
Dark gold. Brownish gold.
More of a bronze.
Texas. But really, in fairness to Rudy Martsky, not anything like where there was a sort of medical problem.
That
but there was evidence. Oh, and you know, as soon as you pointed it out, it was clear for everybody to see.
A blind man could see that spot. Yeah. Please. Yes, for goodness sakes.
Rudy Martsky's braille underpants.
Oh, how do we get on the topic of Rudy Martsky after we're talking about Steve Byrne?
I have no idea. But we hadn't had Rudy on the show for a long time. Our relationship's been kind of on the skids.
I'll tell you something else. You remember this about Rudy when we were in his house? Remember when we found his incredible gun stash?
Oh, huge. He had all that ammunition buried in the backyard.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were serious. I thought I might have missed something. I thought that was like Daddy was drinking a little bit that night.
Could you picture him with a gun?
No.
Seriously, could you ever picture Rudy Martsky with a gun?
Hey, I shot the dog.
His wandering eye.
I was going to say, it's impossible to sneak up on him. He got eyes going every direction. And you remember how to get to his house.
Well, I'll tell you something. If there was a gun in Rudy's house, box wine sales would be going down after a certain time.
This box of wine has a hole in it.
Mouse? The angriest I ever say. He had a wife that he called Mouse. The Mouse.
The Mouse.
Her name was The Mouse. And when he would get really, really mad at her when she would interrupt him after she'd had a little bit of wine, he'd grit his teeth and it looked like he wanted to kill her.
Mm-hmm, he did.
I always enjoyed socializing with the Marskys. I missed that tremendously.
Yeah.
And if you want to get to Rudy's house in Atlanta, it was go down the road and turn left at the casket store. I just remember that. Do you remember that?
That's
it was
right.
Right near the casket store. Oh.
And here's another memory for you from that Super Bowl trip. What a great dad I am. Do you remember when you and I said, we're going to take little Barty out to the Palm restaurant in Atlanta?
For a lunch.
For a lunch. Because, listen, at the time, Bart was like maybe 12.
Right.
Yeah. He said, you know, we're going to take you out and give you a big boy lunch with Dad and Uncle Rob. And Uncle Rob and I sat there and had maybe like 5 martinis each.
No.
Palm-sized martinis. Yeah,
those big, gigantic martinis. And at one point, we actually sent Bart around the restaurant trying to find Rudy's picture on the wall because we knew that it was there somewhere.
And it would take him a while and you could have another martini?
Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
And then do you remember what we did?
We
staggered over to the NFL Experience. I actually participated in some of the games. I was that drunk.
Oh, you had to be drunk to do that.
And then I think, did we go back to the Palm again for a second meal?
For dinner.
Yeah, we did.
We used to go to the Palm a lot.
Yes, we did.
We used to go to the Palm a lot.
Now we go hardly ever.
No, we never go.
I do remember calling home and talking to Frida. I'm like, hi, baby. She's like, oh my God, what are you guys doing?
I remember, put Rob on the phone.
like that was going to help.
And it was no better with Rob, but it was like, hi, Frida, how are you doing?
Just having lunch.
And then it was, put Bart on the phone. So the 12-year-old's got to get on the phone. It's like, hey, Mom, how you doing?
And thus began a 13-hour vodka drunk.
Wow.
And we did find Rudy Martsky's picture on the wall of the Palm in Atlanta, and we may have even been so drunk that we may have faked his signature.
I, as a matter of fact, I know we did.
I know you did, friend.
I have never taken a Sharpie up to pictures on the wall of the Palm.
It's probably still there. It's probably still there.
I've never done that in New York, and I've never done it in Atlanta.
Who did you did ours in New York.
I did.
Were you with us when he did that?
Yes. Yeah. Isn't that the night that we went out with that chick that used to work at the other station in New York and was really...
Oh, the crazy one.
Do you remember that chick that was on that Hitler kick?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, my God, the scary anti-Semite chick.
There was some chick, when we were up in New York one night, when our show used to be on up there, we all went out to eat.
She was Palestinian, I think.
And it was this chick that worked for Infinity. She had just gotten done doing something with Howard's show.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, hey, I want to go out with you guys. And we were like, hey, okay, the more the merrier.
Yeah, she seemed like a nice enough person.
Yeah. And as soon as we got to the table, she started talking really seriously about Hitler.
Yeah. It was frightening. It was frightening. We're all, you know, all right, bring on the drinks.
That's right.
We can't stand this. And everybody's looking at her going, okay, we got a nutcase.
I think that was the night that followed, that preceded the morning that Mike met us at the peanut butter restaurant.
Oh,
I've never seen you that white of the face.
You mean with the peanut butter and jelly?
Yeah, it was a peanut butter and jelly restaurant, and it was in a...
Great effing idea that was.
This is my idea. I thought
Let's
it would
go.
Be nice.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Well, it was your worst hangover
day after
ever.
A major drunk.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have our night out. It's our big night out, and Shecky wants to go to the peanut butter and jelly restaurant.
Buzz and I had a great time.
Well, you guys, didn't... you know, there were a lot of those Tuesday nights.
You were the color of drywall.
Yes, you were.
You were really hurting.
You wouldn't have liked any restaurant. I don't think I enjoyed a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Having a hard time making the Diet Coke stay down.
I remember it was Rob's big question. Maybe it was Buzz's. There was this restaurant they read about in the Village.
It was on the Food Network.
Where they only served peanut butter and jelly, and poor Mike was so friggin' hungover.
It was during that time where I really wanted to be a participant. You know, I didn't want to miss anything.
Right.
And how I made it to that, I should have stayed in bed.
You showed up late, left a little early, but you made it. God bless you.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Oh, that was a good memory.
More peanut butter, Mr. O'Mara?
Yeah. Care of the dog. Crunchy peanut butter after a night out. You want to talk about a vomitorium. Nasty.
Oh, boy.
We've had some times, haven't we?
Haven't we, friends?
Sound like a bunch of old farts.
See you at the Palm at 10:30 in the morning.
Is that what time you guys went there?
Yeah.
Not much later.
It was like 11 o'clock when they opened. We're standing outside. Are you open yet? Is the bar open yet?
Open up! Open up!
It's like Janet and I on vacation down in Jamaica. Standing in front of the tiki bar going, hello? It's 8:57 a.m. Yes, we open in 3 minutes. Really? How much trouble would it be to bring me a rum and pineapple juice right now? Sir, it's 8:57 a.m.
Hair of the dog, Lloyd. Hair of the dog.
I know. And at one point, what did Janet say that pissed me off? And she said, you know, at home, it's not even 9 o'clock yet. I was like, stop it. When in Jamaica, do as the Jamaicans do.
Ah, rum, man.
That's what I say. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, thank you, Steve Byrne. The show is The Real Wedding Crashers on NBC Monday night.
Go out and make a memory, ladies and gentlemen.
Steve Byrne, brought to you by the NRA. And we'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is a one-shot thing we got going on here.
It's nobody's business but ours.
You know I ain't queer.
Yeah.
Me neither.
Yeah. The Don and Mike
Show. Me neither.
Subsisting on a solid diet of quickies. Don and Mike.
Thank you, Dude Walker. Guns are a funny thing.
Yeah.
I was going to touch on this for a second.
Right.
Looking at our website, donandmikewebsite.com.
Yes.
You know, if we had been pro-gun, I guess all of our listeners would love us. Our listeners are very not on our side.
Yeah. Like calling for our heads?
Well, no. And I'm not busting balls. I'm just telling you what people are writing on our website.
The majority disagrees with us.
Yes. Something named Wildcat writes, criminals and crazies like the Asian kid at Virginia Tech know that most of the innocent citizens they intend to be their victims are not armed. If the majority of law-abiding citizens arm themselves, they would not be the potential victims to such a degree.
A lot of people believe that.
If one of the VT kids who happened to be a law-abiding citizen who could legally carry a gun was around during yesterday's tragedy, he, she could have ended things right away. Well, it's incredibly stupid, but go ahead and write it. Then another guy writes, hey, call in with that. Of course, when you do, it's 1-3. That's the odds you get when you choose to call. But hey, no one forces anyone to call and get into a debate with Don, Mike, and Buzz. Unless, of course, someone has a gun pointed at your head forcing you to call, so do so at your own risk. Never mind, somebody did that, and Don said you're an idiot. Oh, well, they tried. Me, I blame the effing murderer and Anus in the Morning for taking away several potential segments of comedy radio. You know, and it goes on and on. There are definitely our listeners are not on our side on this.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right.
What is this one? Try living in Manassas. What is that?
All right.
For goodness sake.
I will.
I think I know what they're saying.
Okay, well, hold on a second. Let me see. It says...
Go ahead, try.
Wildcat, same guy, writes, miles away from Mike's Look Around Cafe, there's an area where neither Don or Mike would feel safe without being heavily armed. Unfortunately, when it comes to gun control issues, the old joke rings true. How do you turn a liberal into a conservative? Answer, you mug them.
Yeah, that's the old joke. That is the old joke. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we had the debate going. We had a lot of people giving us their viewpoint, and there are a lot of conflicting viewpoints on this.
Yeah.
And there always will be.
I mean, all I wanted to say respectfully to our listeners, I'm glad that we've got this thing going so we can talk about this with people who are writing on our website. You know, if you don't like the fact that we're talking about these issues, how do you say this politely? Well, screw off. We're not your trained monkeys. This is something that's going on in the world.
For people.
First off, with the speech issues that Imus brought up last week, and that's part of Mike and I doing the show every day. We're going to discuss that. This gun thing, hey, listen, speaking for myself, flips me out. I got a kid in college, and it really hits close to home. And if we can't stop down this show to have a reasonably intelligent discussion, we're trying to, then what's the friggin' point?
Yeah, I mean, you have to.
I mean, we're not doing it every single day. No. We don't dwell on this every day. Was the Imus thing the biggest, hottest thing last week that everybody in the goddamn world was talking about?
Absolutely.
Yes. Did it impact us directly? Yes. This thing, is it the biggest thing everybody's talking about in the world? Yes. Does it direct us? Yes, because we have feelings about it.
Right? Well, I mean, everybody does. It's on top of everybody's mind. It really is. But unfortunately, just like the Imus thing, this too will pass. We will talk about it. And we are, I feel that nowadays we are more controlled by our sources that we have for news and everywhere else than we ever have been. And really, as soon as this stops making the headlines, this too will go away. And it's unfortunate like the Imus thing, this is the gun thing, we do have serious problems, and we have to have intelligent debate about them to get them fixed. And if we don't do that, we're going to be in trouble. Well, we really are.
And really, frankly, I'll be very honest. Not that I'm not honest all the time, but I'll be very honest. I don't know anything about guns. So how else am I going to open up a discussion with somebody? I would really like, as I said before, I want to talk to some guy that's got 25 guns. And if my answer after letting the guy speak for 5 minutes is you're an idiot, well, tough teats. At least we've had a discussion.
We heard from him.
Everybody with an opposing viewpoint was given a shot on the show today, if you'll pardon the pun. And those of you looking for the funny today, have you ever considered this, that maybe we don't feel particularly funny today?
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's not that we're martyrs. It's our job to come on and do a show, but we do a show that reflects real life.
Absolutely.
In the days after 9/11, nobody came to us and said, hey, guys, where's the funny?
Right.
Right?
Right.
I mean,
look at those people that say that and say, hey, where's the awareness
and
just how incredible this tragedy really is?
And the mistake that we're not going to make this time is the mistake that I think we made when the Janet Jackson thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the balls to get on the radio and say, this is wrong. What are the rules? We just railed. We didn't discuss it. We mm-hmm. didn't stop down and discuss it. If it bothers anybody that we're doing that today, see you later.
You show me a household in America where there wasn't a discussion of this thing last night, and I'd be very surprised.
You know,
everybody's shaking their heads, and everybody, you know, asks the same question. How?
And
why? Well, there are reasons for this, and we got to explore them. We got to look at them.
And I almost dig, to a certain extent, what the one poster was saying. Like, hey, come on, you're taking away our comedy. I turned on the Regis and Kelly show today because I knew Regis was going to call in, and they're going to announce that he's going to be coming back.
Right.
And she was sitting there with that toad, Jeff Probst, mm-hmm. who I just think, you know, even though he's okay on the show, he's just a toad on that show. I have to give Kelly Ripa some credit that she started out by saying, I don't know what we can do today because there's flooding in New Jersey and there's all these people that were killed. And Jeff Probst was sitting there and said, well, now, hold on a second. Isn't this the Regis and Kelly show? Aren't we supposed to keep it light and keep it bright? And her response was, how do you not address it? We have a more elongated form than Regis and Kelly do. And, you know, we're trying to be as fair as we can to try to figure out why these things are happening.
You and I, our history of doing this show, I said this to somebody the other day,
We've done this in the past. I mean, there are things that happen that supersede any comedy radio show that you're going to do. And when you're doing live radio, that's just the way it is. And, you know, and it happens that way. And if we're going to discuss something that's on everybody's mind, we're just like you are. We really, really are. With that said, I think that it hasn't been overblown today. We haven't dwelled on it completely. But we talk about it. And you know what? There are a lot of people that do want to talk about this.
We've taken an
angle. Perhaps we could expand that angle a little bit because there are, I think, more things to look at than just the gun issue when it comes to this. Because you know what? With the way the laws are set up in this country right now, I think this guy was on a mission and probably could have gotten the guns any way he wanted to.
However,
he wanted to kill people.
I just think it's real interesting we do a show that's about our lives. This is what's going on in our lives right now. If you don't like it, I say respectfully, change the channel. You know, go find a mix station. We'll be back. To doing what we do, and we have done what we do on today's show, we're allowed to take some time out to discuss this. I really want to try to understand, as I said before, why somebody needs so many guns. And
do you find that a lot of people feel when something like this happens, they just want it to go away? And
we can't
always put our head in the sand. And I think that's what, you know, hey, be funny. I don't listen to you to hear you talk about this. Well, the fact is, I think more people have to talk about certain things that are important once in a while,
and
or
where
we
else,
can just chuck it.
Seriously, where else today, right now, is specifically in Washington, D.C., where are you going to hear this? I mean, you're going to hear Sean Hannity's show. He definitely has a different slant than we do. Okay? So you could look there. The news station is offering no opinion.
Right.
Everybody else is playing records. I mean, this is pretty much it. It's us or NPR.
And I, speaking of news stations, and
which is an awful situation to be in.
You know, we talked about it. We talked about it with the coverage that they were getting yesterday. And I tell you, it just pisses me off to no end when you see. I know they're doing their job, but sometimes when there's a tragedy of this magnitude, do they have to do their job with so much excitement and energy? And you see the talking heads that are down there. And it just kills me. I know it's the journalist thing. It's the feeding frenzy thing when there's a tragedy like this. But God damn, they're tripping all over each other. And the level of excitement, it always puts a bad taste in my mouth when I see that. I know they do it. I know that's not going to change either. But when you see the good example I was watching last night, Paula Zahn. You know, Paula Zahn, who is just so anorexic. She's sitting there with her veins popping out of her neck, just going, well, we have more details right now. And it's just sometimes there's just no, you know what, Walter Cronkite back in the day, it would seem to me that when there would be some sort of unbelievable tragedy in this country, there would just be the tiniest little bit of Walter Cronkite that I would look at and say, you know, this guy is upset about this too.
Yeah.
And you don't see that anymore, man. You see these feeding frenzy reporters, it drives me nuts. I'm not going to change that by saying it. It's just the way I feel.
I just get the feeling that if we were on the other side of the issue, people would not be so vocal about, hey, why are you talking about this?
Right.
If we were on the other side, I guarantee our message board would be loaded with, right on, talk about this every day.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think, you know, yeah, we were talking about being anti-gun. But I mean, and we don't own guns. The three of us happen to not own guns. But you know what? We have three different people in here that we're talking, and three of them with really a different perspective.
Yes.
We were all, you know, in by different degrees. You know, I mean, I think that, you know, you've got a lot more problems than just guns when it comes to something like this happening, you know, because man, if you look at the recent history of what's happening, we have an awful lot of this happen in the United States of America. And I think it goes even beyond guns.
Okay, so that's the end of today's lecture. And, you know, if you cats don't like it, well, you know, tough teats. I would like to think that as we wind down the show, whenever it's going to end, that at least towards, I mean, Christ's sake, I don't know why I feel awkward saying this in this day and age. I'm almost 50. There are some days I come into work, and I don't want to be a serious radio guy, but there are some days I come in and just my heart is heavy because the world is so effed up.
Amen.
25 years ago, I probably didn't feel that way.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I do now. It comes with getting older. And I know that's an awful thing to say because, oh, my God, you got to keep the young demographic.
Well, another way of saying getting older is growing up.
Yeah.
And that's just the reality of it.
So we took some valuable comedy time away from you people.
You know, I was going to ask you about
I
was going to ask
you. Go outside and shoot your guns extra hard tonight.
I was going to ask you about your son. Talking to your son about that, did you get from him that on college campuses all over America, this has had kind of an impact on their psyche?
We know kids that go to VTech. Mm-hmm. You know, VTech was one of the schools Bart looked at.
Sure.
So we have not direct ties, but it's one of those things. You go, oh, do you remember this guy? Yeah, he went there.
Right.
Okay. So
mm-hmm.
Bart talks to me about what's going on, and he's not scared.
No.
He just says this is awful.
Yeah.
You know, and as a parent, I feel bad because I can't reassure him.
Yeah.
But the only reassurance I can give him is, yeah. It's an awful world.
Sure is.
Glad I'm going to be checking out soon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, to an extent, that's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, well, you have to sometimes when it gets overwhelming like that.
And by soon, I mean, you know, in the next 25, 30 years, the selfish part of me thinks,
let's be honest with you and me, 10. In the next 10.
5.
4.5.
I can name that stroke in 3 years.
Yeah, if you don't like it, you know, I mean, everybody's got the option.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way it goes.
All right, so that's it. That's enough of that. Charlie.
Yeah.
Hey, you got news coming up.
A little bit, yeah.
You do. All right, we'll get to that right after this. Thank you for your indulgence, everybody. Thank you.
I don't thank anybody.
Good for you, Mike.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I mean, I don't feel like it.
Go out tonight and shoot extra double hard.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot 1,000 rounds tonight.
You know, this coming weekend, I'm going to do some shooting. I'm going to have some shooters. I guarantee.
The only shooting I do is with my penis.
I know.
And I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, oh, don't we? Yeah, don't the neighbors.
And those bullets, they pierce any vest.
Oh,
Don, didn't I see you at the range shooting a box?
Yeah, now when you can shoot.
Watch out, Steve.
Look up in the sky. Duck! Wow.
Guns don't kill people. Sperm does.
Ew.
Okay, Charlie.
Yes.
News. We'll be right back with Buzz.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Suck it all.
Yeah.
Don and Mike.
Suck on that, loser. He's a jackass.
And now here is Guy Burnley.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Hi there, Guy.
Hi, Donna, Mike.
Hi, Buzz. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
You know how I am.
Yeah, I think I have a pretty good idea.
I'm anti-gun.
I know.
There's no arguing with me.
Before we say...
You'll never win an argument with me. I'm anti-gun.
That's what I hear.
Stupid idiot.
But before we say another word about guns or gun safety, and we will, you need to know what happened today.
What?
At the White House. While President Bush was speaking at Virginia Tech downstate,
yep.
Two Secret Service agents were wounded at the White House in an accidental shooting today.
Jesus.
Vice President Cheney was not involved. A gun held by a third Secret Service agent discharged accidentally. One Secret Service agent was wounded in the leg. The other took shrapnel to the face. None of the wounds are life-threatening.
Thank God.
Not to diminish shrapnel to the face. It happened at the southwest gatehouse of the White House ground involving trained professionals.
And that Cheney was nowhere around?
So far as we know, not in the area. And not
funny. That's not funny. Don't play that tape. That's not funny.
Not funny. Virginia Tech.
I'm sorry, Charlie. I screwed up again.
Now the story.
Hi, Rob.
Okay. Virginia Tech student, 23-year-old Cho Sung-hee, a South Korean national who was a permanent resident of the U.S., shot himself in the head after taking out scores of Virginia Tech students and teachers. There may have been an accomplice. That's still being investigated.
Jesus, they still think that, huh?
Cho reportedly left a disturbing note about society and rich people before the killing began. As a 23-year-old English major, we can only imagine, some of what he had written before yesterday was so disturbing he'd been referred to school counselors about what he'd written. It began yesterday, as we first reported, as a quarrel between Cho and his ex-girlfriend, yesterday's second victim. The first was Ryan Clark, a member of the marching band and reportedly the new boyfriend.
You know, Buzz, if either of those kids had guns,
right,
they could have killed that man immediately, and we never would have had this heartache.
A lot of people believe that.
Crossfire. What could go wrong?
Yeah.
With the gunman dead, who else can we blame for what happened at Virginia Tech yesterday? Well, all eyes are on the university and its campus police force, which one parent describes as an Andy Griffith Barney Fife operation. This angry parent wants the university president and the campus chief of police to resign or be fired for not locking down the campus faster and notifying students sooner.
You catch that guy on the news last night?
Yeah.
That guy was a little out of his element.
Yeah.
First of all, he's
way over his head. He's in the tall weeds now.
The campus police chief?
Coming across the worst tragedy he's ever seen, and then he's dealing with the press corps after that. He didn't know what hit him.
Chief W.R. Flincham has, in fact, been quoted as saying he screwed up the handling of the incident, and the school had gotten 2 or 3 bomb threats last week. That, apparently, we now believe, because of a note found next to his body, may have been the shooter testing the school's ability to respond to an emergency. The campus police force at VT is responsible for over 25,000 students in more than 100 buildings spread over 2,600 acres.
I've been on a big campus, too. Rob's been on a big campus. The fact is, we're not talking about the state police or the FBI
right.
or even the county
right.
police or the city police.
Right. Right.
These guys, are the lower tier of law enforcement. They are. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
You remember the cops at VCU,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. They're like bicycle cops.
Johnny just came in and handed me a note that some of the shooter's writings are on smokinggun.com already.
They are, in fact. He, for a short story assignment, he wrote a one-act play about a child, a young boy, maybe about 13, who believes his father is a pedophile. And a mom whips out a chainsaw at some point, and the play ends with dad hitting the kid to death. That's the kind of stuff this guy was writing that got him referred.
And beating him to death?
To a counselor, yes, exactly.
What grade did he get on that?
I don't know. I think it just they sent him to the counselor.
Well,
it was pass fail.
Now, along with that disturbing note.
Pass or fail?
Pass.
Thank you.
They also found a receipt in Cho's backpack for the 9mm handgun used in the killings. The Glock was purchased a month ago in Roanoke, along with 50 rounds of ammunition. The dealer says Joe had the required identification. The serial numbers had been filed off both the 9mm and the .22 caliber when they were found yesterday. Presidential hopeful John McCain says his views on the Second Amendment have not changed, quote, except to make sure these kinds of weapons don't fall into the hands of bad people. Barack Obama.
So how do we do that?
I don't know. I mean, that's something we need to sort out.
That's what politicians do when they have no solution.
I was asking a rhetorical stupid question.
I understand, Bruce.
Who's good? Who's the good people?
And who decides?
I know already from all of the feedback we got from our listeners.
Uh-huh.
All the people with guns are good people.
Amen.
Here.
Barack Obama spoke of violence, but he and the other candidates mostly confined their remarks to concern for families.
I never thought I would see the day when we would get email from our listeners calling us liberals. And our listeners are sending us email like, this is not Air America, shut the frig up.
Would they just figure it out?
Well, the gun thing has touched a nerve.
Yeah, obviously.
And it really has touched a nerve.
It does every time
tough
it comes tease, up.
As you said. I couldn't agree more.
Don Franken.
And the White House says President Bush stands behind Americans' right to bear arms. The NRA, by the way, says it has no comment on any of this until all of the facts are in.
Of course not.
Now, here are some facts about gun laws in Virginia. It's not the most lenient state in the country, but it's not all that tough on guns either. The Brady campaign for gun control gives Virginia a C-. That's actually a high grade.
I remember coming home once, and my father says, C's are not allowed in this.
Having said that, you are with a capital C.
You might give me a C.
It's actually a high grade, that C-, since 32 of our 50 states get D's and F's on that same report card.
I see.
I wish the I wish they'd target a more liberal state like Florida.
I mean, anytime you mention the C word, it causes concern, although a lot of people in politics have successfully dealt with it.
There's a lot of C's out there.
That's terribly exciting news, Ross.
Now, in Virginia, anyone over the age of 12 can have a gun if they got it from a family member. Virginia law says any state resident over 18 can buy a firearm, including assault weapons, if they pass a criminal background check. You don't have to have a permit, but without one, you can only buy one handgun per month.
That's all, Buzz?
Otherwise, there's no waiting period. Just one a month.
He had two guns, though, right?
He did. Yeah, apparently he'd had this one before.
It makes sense to sell guns to an 18-year-old because at least they won't get drunk.
Right, exactly. Sober as a judge.
There is no restriction in Virginia on the sale or possession of rapid-fire ammunition magazines that can fire up to 100 bullets without reloading. And although this point is in dispute, my research indicates that guns can be purchased at gun shows thanks to a loophole in the law without waiting periods or background checks, at least here in Virginia.
God, will you stop the liberal talk?
Jesus.
Will you stop the liberal talk?
Be funny. Also known as facts. You've seen the photo of the young Asian man being held to the ground by police in Blacksburg, Virginia, probably. He wasn't the shooter, and his was not the only case of mistaken identity. Wayne Chang lives in the dorm where the first shooting occurred.
And all he said was, hey, everybody have fun tonight.
Wayne Chang.
Everybody Wang Chang. Wayne Chang tonight.
Wayne Chang had lived in that dorm. He'd recently broken up with his girlfriend, and his MySpace page shows off his gun collection, which includes semi-automatics and Russian rifles.
What are you talking about?
Dimple's visit here was not to see you, but to rob the safe. It's Fingers McCann, the notorious bank robber.
You've got nothing on me, Chan.
How'd you know, Bob?
The police told us that the bank robberies happened in Stockton, Sacramento, and Bakersfield.
Ah.
All the places that the circus had played. So obviously someone's using the circus for cover.
There is no refrigerator in her trailer. Most unusual. A person with a tendency toward obesity would find a great need for a refrigerator.
The voice of the amazing Chan is Key Luke.
Key Luke.
There he is again.
Very good.
All over today's show.
And comes up again.
Well, this guy, Wayne Chang, had broken up with his girlfriend. He had the guns on the MySpace page. He lived in the same dorm. So naturally, vigilant citizens surfing the net turned him into police. Chang called a local TV station last night to clear his name and also to say that if Virginia Tech students were allowed to carry concealed weapons yesterday, would have never happened.
That, you're hearing that again and again and again.
When we come back, more about Imus.
Oh,
good.
Oh, that's good news.
Good. Goodbye, listeners.
No, absolutely, Buzz. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
They had a Buzz's news.
Stars of West were fired. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
One funny note. Someone has written something on our website.
Yes.
About the gun thing, of course. Spell check. I just want to say, spell check is a giant help.
It's a good thing.
With your credibility if you're writing something on a website.
Sure.
So I'm at DonAndMikeWebsite.com, and the author is Voice of Sanity.
Ah.
And he joined today, and this is his first post. And the topic of the post is, when did Rosie get a daily radio show?
Mm-hmm.
And he writes, this is the Don and Mike show, and they can run it however they want. However, they should follow the example set by their hero, Bill Clinton, and choose content based on popular opinion. The majority of listeners, hell, Americans, disagree with their stance.
Yes.
Time to get off the soapbox and simply discuss the horrible actions in Virginia as the tragedy, T-R-A-G-I-D-Y, it was.
There goes the credibility right there.
Kind of lose it when you put the I instead of an E.
Mm-hmm.
Tragedy, as the Bee Gees sang.
Mm-hmm. Hey, buddy, got his post on the radio.
There you go.
Oh, no matter how it's spelled.
That's not a tragedy, Mike.
No, that's a triumph.
Tragedy.
That's a triumph. T-R-Y-U-M-P-H.
All right, here's Buzz. Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike. Again, we have a pretty good idea of where people stand on that issue. So where do people stand on the Imus thing now that the dust has settled?
Stupid idiot.
Survey results are in. By a slim margin, Americans agree with the firing of Don Imus. A new Washington Post ABC News poll shows 51% of Americans agree with the firing. Nearly as strong, 45% believe he should not have been fired.
Was there an I don't care category?
I'm guessing it's somewhere between that 45 and 51%,
okay.
Filling in that gap.
I did read somewhere today where at least somebody finally came out, John Kerry, I think, finally came out and said, I like the guy, and if he gets a show, I'd go back on the. If he cleaned it up, I'd go back on the show. But at least there's one guy that's standing up for him.
And he's tall, so when he stands up,
you notice
it's like Herman Munster.
And not surprisingly, the demographic breakdown shows that whites are evenly divided on the subject, 50-50, and that 7 out of 10 blacks supported the firing of Imus. Women also play a role in supporting the firing. 55% of women agreed with it, while only 48% of men did. And here's
was that a Gallup poll?
No, it was a Washington Post ABC News poll.
I don't trust any polls that aren't Gallup.
I
it's like my horsey on my ranch.
I couldn't help but notice at the bottom of the poll from the Washington Post and ABC News, as always, they list the margin of error. And I'm just passing this along without comment.
They took a bad poll.
The margin of error for the poll is 3%, 7% for the African-American sampling.
I was embarrassed by the poll. Go ahead.
I'm trying to figure out what Buzz is saying while you're saying that, too.
3% margin of error on the whole poll and 7% for the African-American part of the poll, according to the poll takers. That's what they say.
7% margin for error?
That's correct.
For black, 7% for black.
Well, good. Good.
Good, you said.
Right? They're wrong more of the time, right?
Not good? Not good. It should be the same sample of error for everybody.
Everybody.
For everybody.
Oh, they're just a bunch of pussies.
I don't know what that means or why that is.
How's your gun, Imus?
My gun's fine. It's digging into my rib cage right now because I'm sitting in an awkward position.
Sure. Well, be careful.
I've got a 100 round clip on my belt buckle.
Seems fair.
Hey, yeah. When are you bringing back the funny?
I don't think I should. I did a bad thing. I don't think I should have the funny anymore. I mean, I'm told now I can't make fun of the people I made fun of.
Right.
Where's the funny? It's not around anymore. It's ridiculous is what it is. You got to go on these shows and make apologies and all this crap.
Don Imus.
I tell you, I'm going to ride into the sunset. I'm going to sleep with the scorpions.
Oh, dear. Now, here's a question. Are you smarter than a Fox News viewer? Fox News watchers.
Just a bunch of white trash.
Fox News watchers.
Hey, Shep.
Are less informed than people who rely on The Daily Show and The Colbert Report for their news, according to a new study by the Pew Research Center.
You!
In fact, folks who get their news from Comedy Central were the most knowledgeable viewers of any surveyed, and Fox watchers the least knowledgeable. 54% of the Stewart and Colbert viewers answered 2 out of every 3 questions put to them correctly.
You know who loves Fox News?
Who?
Hi, this is Michael Hughes.
Big gun owner he is, our general manager.
He's got an arsenal.
My God.
He carries them. He carries 2 6-shooters.
You're not talking about his biceps, right? You're talking about his real guns.
I'm talking about his nipples.
Oh, yeah.
So a little over half of The Daily Show and Comedy Central viewers answered 2 out of 3 questions correctly. They tied with the people who read the big daily newspapers. Only 33% of Fox News viewers could answer 2 out of 3 questions correctly. The questions included, name the vice president, and name the Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid.
This is Sam Huff.
Overall, Americans did not score all that well.
This is Sam Huff. This is Sam Huff.
He will make a good Don't
answer. Ever question my intelligence.
What to do about human waste. And more when we return.
In this studio.
In my pants. we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Give me a T.
C.
Give me an R.
R.
Give me an A.
A.
Give me a G.
G.
Give me an I.
I.
Give me a D.
D.
Give me a Y.
Y.
What's that spell?
I don't know what it spells or not.
They will make you sacramental. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Tragedy, I die.
Here we go. Yeah.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Don.
Hi, anyway.
Hi, how you doing?
Over there with your big Barry Gibb mane of hair.
That's right. How do you like it? Selling cheap merchandise is apparently more profitable than selling oil, according to the new Fortune 500 list. Walmart is the new number one money maker in the country. Walmart has just edged out ExxonMobil as well as 3 other oil companies.
I mean, Hugs
are great.
You jumped off that bandwagon at the wrong time.
Yeah.
You're a target man now, aren't you?
Yeah.
And now look what Walmart's doing. They're taking over the world.
Screw Walmart, Mike.
I agree.
I'm with you.
Me too.
Last year, Walmart took in more than $351 billion compared to ExxonMobil's $347 million.
It's because they got the happy smiley face.
Hugs are great.
Hugs are great.
Billion, of course. This is actually the 5th time in 6 years that Walmart's been number one, but last year, ExxonMobil took the lead away from them. We thought, perhaps for good, It's a lead that ExxonMobil might not mind losing as the price of gas again crosses the $3 line, up like 35% so far this year. General Motors, by the way, came in third on the list, just ahead of Chevron and ConocoPhillips.
Are you applying for GM?
Yeah, they're a great company.
Ford came in...
You just never let it go, do you?
No, I hold on. I shake it in my mouth in a figure eight.
I bet you love that commercial that has Dale Jr. at the end going, oh, we're not the Jetsons. We're the Chevroletsons.
Love it. Love it. It's great. I got it in my car.
What about the hip-hop beginning?
Don't care for that.
Ford came in seventh.
You like watching those commercials on all the sports shows you watch.
You know what? I'd watch sports if I had freaking TV.
TV.
I don't have any flipping channels.
Too much to ask to get a freaking 40-foot ladder out here.
And it's changed him. Finally, in New Zealand, they think they've figured out how to solve the problem of disposing human waste without wrecking the environment. They plan to put 61 tons of it into a volcano.
Hey, you know what?
Hey, you know something?
I'm sorry.
No, what? I had a dream last night.
Volcano of waste.
That's right.
A volcano of number three.
Officials say they're pretty sure the volcano will never erupt again. Not positive, just pretty sure.
Oh, but if it does,
what could possibly go wrong?
That'll be an S storm.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
No! That's where you'll need a gun.
Yeah.
When the S starts flying.
And it really will be flying.
When it starts hitting the fan. All right, well, listen, let's all hope that nothing awful happens tonight.
Amen.
Going to come back tomorrow with more liberal babble?
So we'll come back tomorrow and continue Air America.
Very good.
And don't forget, tomorrow on the show, we're giving away a gun every minute.
And we're marrying two men.
I remember when I worked at WLS in Chicago. That was the big prize on Thanksgiving, the day before Thanksgiving. We give away a turkey every minute.
That's a very nice. And they were live, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah. That's when you threw them out of the airplane. Tomorrow, we'll be giving away an AK-47 every minute on the show. And only college students can win them.
Isn't that special?
I think we got to fly. We'll see you tomorrow with all of our liberal crap. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
And you with no TV.
Hey, all goofiness aside, guns are like shirts.
I don't know. I don't understand that.
Everyone fits everyone different, John.
Stupid idiot.
This is the Don and Mike Show.